This is the Quality News Network. The FDA says it's ruled out tampering in connection with the growing E. coli outbreak from fresh spinach, which so far has sickened more than 100 people in 23 states and caused the death of at least one person. The company connected to the outbreak says its organic products have been cleared of suspicion. However, the government is still recommending that consumers refrain from eating any fresh spinach, bagged or fresh, until they're able to resolve the problem. President Bush addresses the UN General Assembly tomorrow about his vision of democracy for the Middle East. The president will also be meeting with six heads of state while in New York for a three-day visit, which began today. The White House says it's confident it can reach a compromise agreement with the Senate over the administration's proposed rules on interrogating terror suspects, but time is short. Congress adjourns a week from Friday until after the November elections. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has joined other Islamic militants in threatening to retaliate against Christians as retribution for last week's speech by Pope Benedict, which contained references to Islam and violence. The Pope apologized yesterday for the fact that his remarks had unintentionally offended Muslims. In southern Afghanistan today, a bicycle-riding suicide bomber killed four Canadian NATO troops while they were handing out school supplies to Afghani children, many of whom were wounded. Taliban is claiming responsibility. The Associated Press is urging the U.S. government to release one of its Iraqi cameramen, who they say has been detained by the U.S. military for 5 months without being charged with a crime. The AP also says the man is but one of 14,000 people the U.S. has imprisoned worldwide without bringing charges against them. More deaths in Iraq today, at least 31 people killed and dozens injured throughout the country in sectarian violence. And Iraq says it expects to take full control of a second of its 18 provinces sometime this week. Both are in southern Iraq, where there has been little violence. Talks to form a national unity government in the Palestinian territories have been suspended by President Mahmoud Abbas because of conflicting statements from Hamas over the weekend. Abbas is now heading up for New York, where he'll meet with President Bush this week. Hurricane Helene continues to gain strength in the Atlantic, but the Category 3 storm poses no threat to land. The two-week-old wildfire burning near the Los Angeles-Ventura County line in Southern California doubled in size over the weekend and has now consumed more than 90 square miles. It's heading for the Ojai Valley. 300 residents have been evacuated. Two other fires are burning out of control near Palm Springs. And Patricia Kennedy Lawford, the wife of actor Peter Lawford and sister of President John Kennedy, has died. She was 82. Science and business news are next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The U.S. trade deficit rose to its second highest level ever in the second quarter of this year, $218.4 billion, up 2.4% from the first quarter. News from Ford Motors today, the automotive news reporting that executives from Ford and General Motors are talking about the possibility of merging or forming an alliance. Both companies have declined comment on the story. Ford is quoted as saying it will exercise its right to buy the Rover brand from BMW. International Monetary Fund members have overwhelmingly approved a proposal to change the status within the IMF of China, South Korea, Mexico, and Turkey. From now on, they'll contribute more money to the organization and in turn will receive more voting shares. A 40-year-old Iranian-American woman is part of a Russian crew aboard a Soyuz spacecraft that was launched this morning from Kazakhstan and is now heading for the International Space Station for a 10-day stay. She paid a reported $20 million to become the first female space tourist. And a scare aboard the International Space Station this morning when the astronauts smelled an unpleasant odor, which caused them to immediately put on their emergency life suits, turned out to be a toxic, non-life-threatening leak from an oxygen tank. Everything now back to normal. Light sweet crude oil is trading up 97 cents this hour at $64.36 a barrel. On Wall Street, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 14 points at 11,547. NASDAQ down 1 at 2235. And the S&P is flat at 1,320. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walters, now 5 past the hour.
Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Six minutes past the hour, and this is Head On for a Monday night. I'm Bob Kincaid, tickled to death to be back with you after a long, long, long weekend of silence. Well, not really silence. It's the 2 days a week when Agnes has to put up with me without you guys giving her a little bit of relief. You have no idea the value that you serve in our world. And not just we, but moreover she is ever so grateful for it. And we are grateful to be along with you this evening, spanning the globe, as the wide world of sports intro used to say, spanning the globe via the services of White Rose Society and RadioPower.org. What fabulous, fabulous services they render, and we're glad to be associated with both. Where to start? Well, Dear Leader goes to the Untied Nations tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to go and give a speech before the Untied Nations. And he will declare what a success, yes, that's right, success Iraq has been. That being the case, it's worth noting this particular story from the New York Times, backdated by about 3 days or so. It was an American plan. It's going to be implemented by the Iraqis. Now, here's a success story for Iraq. Why won't they ever tell the happy news about Iraq, Bob? So many good things are going on there. The Iraqi government plans to seal off Baghdad within weeks by ringing it with a series of trenches and setting up dozens of traffic checkpoints to control movement in and out of the violent city of 7 million people, an Interior Ministry spokesman said Friday. Additional plans have also been laid to to fill some of the trenches in with water, creating moats. Alligators are said to be imported from Florida, crocodiles from the Nile River Basin in Egypt. Okay, I made up the part about the alligators, crocodiles, and the moats, but this is success. This is isn't this what the communists tried to do, sort of, with Berlin? Yeah, it is. So look where we are. You know, just another.
It's unacceptable to think that there's any kind of comparison between the behavior of the United States of America in the action of Islamic extremists who kill innocent women and children in an understand to achieve an objective.
Darn straight, dear leader. Darn straight. You tell them. What did he say later? We're morally confused? Nah, not us. I'm not morally confused. Are you morally confused? Sending Tomahawk cruise missiles into neighborhoods where innocent people live and there aren't any military targets of any value whatsoever, and killing women and children. And some of the women are pregnant and little children, little babies. Now, I'm not morally confused about that, are you? Because I'm pretty sure that's morally wrong.
General Powell has said, and I feel the same way, this isn't a matter of difference of policy. This is a matter of conscience.
Well, that too. But of course, now let me say something right off the bat. You know, Lindsey Graham came out Face the Press this week, or whatever the Sunday goblolly is, came out and said, the world will do better without a Lindsey Graham. I mean, America can survive without a Lindsey Graham now. And, of course, there was this big, made-up, phony bunch of garbage where Bob Schieffer says, well, you must be getting considerable political heat because you're not bowed down and worshiping Pharaoh. I mean, President Bush. Oh, I am, Bob. I'm taking terrible heat down there in South Carolina. I'm taking terrible heat. And people say, why can't you get along with the president? But of course, Bob, I'm willing to sacrifice my political career because I believe in the Constitution. Which is, of course, just a great big load of crap. Because Lindsey Graham no more believes in the Constitution. Oh, than Kalahari Bushmen believe in Santa Claus, okay? Because Lindsey Graham, that scum-sucking dirtbag, was present and accounted for during the impeachment hearings of Bill Clinton, when, you know, this is a question of constitutional law, whether or not he had oral sex with that woman. What an embarrassment Lindsey Graham is. When I put on the uniform, oh, shut up, Lindsey. Your law license isn't worth the match that would take to burn it up. You've had an opportunity to call hearings. You have had every opportunity in the world to call George Bush on the carpet in the last 5.5 years, and you, sir, have not done it. You are not deserving of the good regard of the people of the United States. You are deserving of its disdain. You are a shame, Lindsey Graham. You are another lick-spittle toady for the Bush administration, and we all know it. Because you'll get on a show and face phony, made-up, oh, I'm taking political heat, but the Senate can do without Lindsey Graham. But who's going to run against Lindsey Graham in South Carolina? Find me a Democrat with $50 million to run against Lindsey Graham in that filthy, filthy, filthy political atmosphere. Find me one. There isn't one. And he's not going to get beat by someone who's trying to be more conservative. The only way you can get more conservative than Lindsey Graham is if you go down to Charleston and you fire a shot at Fort Sumter. Okay, are we clear on that? That was a bunch of grandstanding, showboating garbage. The world can do without Lindsey Graham. Lord, I wish the world could. But he'll have no competition, and when all is said and done, and the little red lights have gone off on the cameras, he will go in, and he will re-enter the United States Senate, and he will once again do for George Bush what Monica Lewinsky did for Bill. Okay, are we clear on that? Whether it's John McCain or Colin Powell or Lindsey Graham or John Warner of Virginia, I wouldn't trust any one of those SOBs in an outhouse with a muzzle on. Because they will not live up to their oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Because we so often forget part of that oath. Against all enemies, foreign, here it comes, and domestic. So Lindsey Graham, save your little dog and pony show with Bob Schieffer for somebody who's silly enough to believe it. Because I'm not. I was born at night, not last night, and Ms. Kincaid didn't raise no dummy, all right? There's nothing going to come of this. This is showboating for the election. Oh, they're going to get tough on George Bush. They're going to rein in the torture. No, they're not. That bill was let out of committee. The wiretap bill was let out of committee without even being amended so much as one crossed T or one dotted I. Because that's the way the Bush administration said it was going to be. And in the end, that's the same thing will happen. The same thing will happen with the torture bill. People will come out and say, see, I'm a Republican. I don't like torture. Look, see, I'm human. Please don't try me for the war crimes trials when it comes time to stand in the dock. Mm-mm, no, sugar. You were there and you participated. And you're, well, you know. But there won't be any war crimes trials, and barring, you know, barring a wholesale taking of the House and the Senate in November, there won't be any impeachment proceedings, and there won't be any inquiries. Now, I'm not trying to be overly negative, but I'm hoping that what this does is it points out to you to me, to us, the absolute necessity, the utter gravity that is attached to taking back the Congress. One more term of the Congress in its present state, and the Congress will cease to be relevant. Remember when George Bush warned the United Nations that they were going to cease to be relevant? Well, you know, every time he comes out there, he says something that's about halfway truthful. Only this time the relevance, you know, the irrelevance applies to the Congress. Because a Congress that will not stand up for its own constitutional obligations, its own constitutional powers, its own constitutional duties against an overreaching, dictatorial, tyrannical executive will cease to be Congress. So that's where we begin tonight. Trenches around Baghdad, freedom on the march, and a Congress on its knees. You know the phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. It's just that easy to get in touch with the program. Email roars right in to bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
He thought he was the king of America, but it was just a boulevard of broken dreams, drifted through with mirrors and with chemicals. The words of love and whispers and the acts and words and screams. I wish that I could push a button.
Welcome back. 20 and a half minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. I kind of know what Elvis Costello was singing about there, don't you? Wish I could push the button and talk in the past and not the present tense. Back before America had a king. That was what Anita Diggs Taylor, Judge Anita Diggs Taylor, she said, America does not have a hereditary king, in her opinion. About, you know, with which, of course, people like Dick Cheney say, well, I disagree. I disagree with the court's ruling. But as our good friend Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop earlier today pointed out, you and me, we're free to disagree with the court's ruling because it's not incumbent upon us to do anything for the courts. Because the ruling doesn't compel us to do anything. Him, on the other hand, you don't get to come, you know, Dick Cheney and George Bush don't get to come out and say, well, I disagree with the court's ruling. Because, you see, they do have to do something. They have to follow the court's ruling. And among other things, the court said that a person is entitled to a trial. No, I disagree with the court's ruling. See, if we had a real Congress, we could push them and see how much they disagreed if they were willing to violate what the court ordered. And then we could impeach them, and it would all be so nice. Because it would be a whole lot more serious than, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Let's go to the phones. Cody joins us from Powers and Morrison. Hey, Cody, welcome to the program. Cody, are you there? You there, Cody?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much. You know, I wanted to address an issue that's been dodged by a lot of pretty much everyone in the mainstream media, as well as Air America, which has banned me from, because I've been addressing this issue at Powers and Morrison. That's a journalist here in San Francisco, where I live, that was jailed for reporting the news. And the Ninth Circuit is moving to put him back in jail, even though he is already out on bail this week. And I want to know, have you heard about this?
I am somewhat familiar with this. This is an individual who, and I thought it was somewhat interesting, Cody, because at first he was described as a blogger.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that, real journalists aren't bloggers, right? Right. Wrong. But the fact of the matter is they started out calling him a blogger, but then when it became necessary to the government's case, they quickly transferred him to journalism.
Yeah, that's correct. And also, California law protects bloggers. The precedent in this state from the California courts is that bloggers and independent journalists are both protected under the California Shield Law, which was actually an amendment to our Constitution that the voters overwhelmingly supported. Attorney General Bill Locklear of this state supports them. The National Lawyers Guild, the Society of Professional Journalists. You think that with this kind of support, the mainstream media would take notice, but, you know, he was on Democracy Now! And ABC7 or local affiliate out here has sort of balanced it. What I'd like to bring out is that there is no crime. They're holding him in civil contempt for not turning over his notes, his cameras, all of his materials to this grand jury investigation. But the grand jury is investigating a crime that never happened. This is video footage of this is available on my website and also at joshwolf.net. The police report shown on ABC showed no arson. They are investigating an arson that never occurred. I mean, how many people are in jail where the police say that they didn't do anything wrong, but the government attorney says that they did?
Well, there's unfortunately more than you and I might be willing to admit. But this thing, what you have here is an out of control prosecutor and an out of control court. Because this is, civil contempt is a situation in which the court says that it has been offended by the conduct of the contemner. And so it's not about the substance of the charge. It's about the fact that the court's dignity has somehow been trampled, i.e. by his so-called refusal to turn over his notes.
Right, and this is also, keep in mind that this is that the city supervisors of San Francisco voted to condemn this action because apparently there are the federal government is investigating an arson to a San Francisco police vehicle, and they believe that they have jurisdiction because some federal funds went into the general fund of San Francisco, and therefore some fraction of that police vehicle belongs to them, and that gives them jurisdiction. This is an unprecedented theory, and there's no supporting law on this. And I was just speaking with Ross Mercari of the San Francisco City Supervisors about it, and they feel like their hands are tied because the federal government is intervening in what should be their own affair, and which they have no problem with.
Well, I suppose their hands are in large part tied. Civil contempt is a broad and it's an ugly little weapon that should be used sparingly by the court, because civil contempt carries no set period of incarceration. It could be for all intents and purposes, Cody, it could be for life.
Right.
And nobody has standing to intervene.
Yeah, that's true, and that's what they've trying to do with the San Francisco Chronicle journalist who was being held in the Barry Bonds case, and they're holding both of them for the duration of the grand jury, and then if they bring back another grand jury, they can start this mess all over again.
Well, this is, I talk a lot about the so-called the complaint of the religious right about and the right wing in general about activist judges. I don't know the political orientation of the judge overseeing this particular case.
I do.
Well, would you share?
Yes, he was a 1999 Clinton appointee. He clerked under William Douglas of the Supreme Court. He should know better. But the problem here is that we don't have an independent grand jury, and there is someone who is trying to do something about that. He's another columnist on Powers and Morrison. His name's Michael H. Brown, and he's litigating a case in front of the Supreme Court, McGrath versus Catherine, and that's at judgesabovethelaw.com, to try to clear this up and prevent this from ever happening again. In fact, I'm trying to bring this to Nancy Pelosi's attention with the help of the San Francisco City Supervisors, because there is a solution to this problem, and that's to bring back the grand jury to the situation the way it was prior to 1906, before we put it in the hands, really, of Bush. People don't understand this, but who is the U.S. Attorney's boss, the Attorney General, and who does the Attorney General appointed by Bush?
George Bush, sure.
And it's a conflict of interest when you have the executive branch running around, throwing people in jail and using draconian law to intimidate the press and to scare them into pretty much just reporting the lies and the happy news.
Well, the old saying goes, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, Cody, that a good prosecutor, given the way the grand juries are set up, a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich.
Right, and Janine Garofalo conceded that after she came back from grand jury duty. And the question you got to ask, if anyone who's listening ever gets on grand jury duty for the federal government, is where are the complaints from our fellow citizens? And because the problem is that those are blocked. What Catherine tried to do, and that's why he's going to the Supreme Court, is that he tried to bring, prior to 1906, you would go to your grand jury foreman and petition him to look into criminal acts. Now, only person who can bring complaints to the grand jury is the U.S. attorney, so they can filter through whoever they want to see an investigation on. You could have a real bipartisan 9/11 investigation with an independent grand jury, as well as many other things. And the American Free Press has an article on this week as well.
I like the idea. The origin of the grand jury lies literally in a bunch of subjects of the crown traveling the shire, or the particular area of England, merry old England. I mean, we're talking about a long time ago, on a hay wagon. And hearing charges brought pretty much exactly as you described it, and it stayed that way through the drafting process of the Constitution. That's what the framers meant when they said that none could be charged except upon indictment by a grand jury. I'm familiar with the 1906 changes, and they really do centralize power in the hands of what has become a political appointee, but it's the same problem that adheres to even Article III judges. The thinking behind the drafting of Article III was that you would, a president, of course, this presupposed, there pre-exists political parties, and political parties have spoiled a lot of what was set down in the Constitution, Cody, and I'm sure you recognize that. But Article III judges were supposed to be appointed because they were leading lights of the law. they were men then, women too now, who really, really had devoted themselves to understanding and understanding the law and becoming real solons, if you will. That all passed away with political appointments, so that you wind up with people like, Samuel Alito and Scalia and Roberts and Clarence Thomas on the bench. I don't know exactly how you reverse all of this. I know that what is being done to Josh Wolf is just outright dirty. But right. I'm hard pressed to figure out how to intervene.
I think I know how we'd intervene. The way to intervene is to break that misconception that the courts are co-equal with Congress, because the word separation of powers first don't appear in the Constitution. Those verbs are not there, and also that who makes the rules for the judges? The judges are the rules for them. The federal rules of criminal and civil procedure are written by Congress.
Absolutely right.
The Supreme Court has held that its job is to enforce the laws according to the statute. Statutes are laws enacted by the legislator. And if I make your rules, am I your coworker or am I your boss? And that's why Congress needs to step up. And, you know, also you're talking about Article 3. I mean, by just reading Article 3 in any context, they created those courts, and when necessary, they can create inferior courts. You can create, you can also dismantle, and they really do have the power to really whip these guys into line. And, you know, judges are appointed for good behavior, mm-hmm. but really that pretty much ends up for life. And
right.
the way to an impeachment on judges has been done before. Gerald Ford did it when he was senator, and what they got to do is they've got to step up and really put these actors in line and scrape a few of them off the bench. And once they do, the rest will fall in line. Won't be immune anymore. They'll have some healthy fear like the rest of us.
Well, what is it that the prosecutor thinks he lacks now in Mr. Wolf's case? The video's out there.
Right, the video's out there. But see, it wasn't just the video.
He wants the notes.
He wants his materials. He wants all of his cameras, recording devices. He wants all of his stuff. And the Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 17, enacted by the legislature, in any context, reads that a subpoena is void if it's unduly burdensome, and the Supreme Court has said you have to use special sensitivity when you review these matters. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has already denied his appeal, and they decided to not publish his appeal. And doing some research, I found a criminal law review from University of California, Los Angeles, that states that 78% of cases in this circuit go unpublished. And when they do that, they've pretty much covered their tracks so that they can't be scrutinized later on.
Well, okay, so they... I'm wondering here. I mean, I'm just turning things over in my mind, Cody. What about a collateral attack? California has a pretty sturdy journalism shield law, does it not? I think you mentioned it earlier.
Yes. Amendment to our Constitution.
And what about a collateral attack on his imprisonment that way?
Yes, and that was an issue raised by his attorneys in his appeal brief, which is available for download. I encourage anybody to go over to powersandmorrison.com and read it, because you'll see that the federal court isn't bound by it. But they can listen to it persuasively. And they ruled incorrectly on it because they said that addressing the state law in California, the Ninth Circuit ruling, the federal courts, they said he's not a real journalist.
See, that's what I thought early on. I'm sorry to interrupt. But I thought early on that the court had ruled, no, he's not a journalist, so the shield law doesn't apply to him. But now they're holding him in contempt as if he were some sort of journalist.
Exactly, and they were wrong when they said that the California law doesn't protect him, because the appellate courts in California, their interpretations of the California law are precedent, and they're binding like they were law. And the case law in California considers bloggers and corporate journalists both protected under the California Shield Law. It's that simple. And the Ninth Circuit didn't know what they were talking about when they ruled on that issue. And this issue has got to go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court hears 90 cases a year, and his chances are very slim. First, he's going to ask for an in-bank panel. He's going to ask for all of the Ninth Circuit judges to hear this case. And hopefully they will, but we need public outcry, because that's what gets your cases. It's the cases that have the public outcry that don't go stamped not for publication, that don't get slipped under the rug.
Well, where does that public outcry find its best... its best use, Cody?
Well, I would say Josh Wolf's website, joshwolf.net. I would say the San Francisco City Supervisor's Office. Let the local government know that there's people nationwide that are supporting this, so that, you know, we can rally the troops and we can get some noise made, so that the courts can't. So they know they have to be fair. So that they know it's not just some random person, some small time person who can just get screwed, and no one's gonna. Then there's not going to be any kind of outcry.
Because God knows if this was. What's her name? Judy Miller of the New York
Times.
She tried
to visit him.
Pardon?
Yeah, Judith Miller tried to visit Josh, and she was refused when he was in prison. And with Judith Miller, you know, you get some press, but Josh isn't getting any press, and people are just afraid to address this topic. It's simple to understand once you really look into it.
Well, where's the Chronicle, the L.A. Times, the San Jose Mercury, the Sacramento Bee? Have they staked out a position on any of this, Cody?
They have, and they're wrong. I've had to correct the San Jose Mercury News. They blatantly lied. I sent excerpts of the transcripts to that guy at the San Jose Mercury News, because this is what they're trying to do. They spin it. They're saying, oh, this is a police officer was assaulted, and which is true, but that's not what the federal government is investigating. They're investigating a firecracker. That's on page 4 of the appeal brief. They are investigating the section of the United States Code that has to do with arson. ABC 7 News said, listen, it's this simple. They're not investigating a police officer who was injured. That's a state persecution. The federal government is only investigating an arson. The police report of the car in question, the police officer says, my car was not arson. It was not lit on fire. And he shows a screenshot on ABC 7 News, so everybody who's watching the local affiliate out here knows this. But the San Jose Mercury News and the Chronicle did a fair job, but they only did one job. I've read all the newspaper articles on this, and he's getting the back page story treatment, and a lot of times they're getting the story wrong.
Well, perhaps then in terms of focusing some protest and some outrage, maybe then there needs to be a little bit of there, but for the grace of God goes John Smith applied to the L.A. Times, the San Jose Mercury News, the Sacramento Bee, the San Francisco Chronicle, because next up, it could be them. I mean, if we're arbitrarily going to determine who is and is not a journalist, then real trouble attaches for anyone. You know, and the fact that you know, what do we, maybe next time we set a standard that says if you make less than $22,000 a year, you're not a journalist. Or maybe if you make less than $30,000 a year, you're not a real journalist. I mean, this is all arbitrary, is it not? I mean, this sounds like the very heart and soul of arbitrary and capricious.
Absolutely, especially when you already have law that says that he is a journalist, and it's just being ignored by this kangaroo courts, this Ninth Circus, and you know, that's, and it's also the media's fault for not addressing these kind of court issues. It's I don't know if people think it's too complicated, because it's not, and there needs to be some focus on the courts, because that's one place where judges can make law that people don't pay attention to. We always concentrate on the legislature. We concentrate on the bills that are proposed that will be passed. But people turn a blind eye to what's going on in the courts, and once it becomes a legal precedent, these guys will hold to it and point back at it and say, listen, this is how they did it before, and we're going to continue to do it this way.
Well, let me ask you one other place that you might direct a little bit of, among other things, information, because we don't necessarily know that, or maybe you already do, the Newspaper Guild, you know, the union for newspaper workers, and that includes reporters. Have you educated them on this issue?
I have not. That's really good advice. Thank you.
I tell you what, shoot me an email, Cody, and I'm sure you can find them online as well as I can. But I think I've got a website around here somewhere. But the Newspaper Guild is a very, very jealous guardian of the First Amendment and jealous guardian of reporters' rights. They operate under the aegis of the Communications Workers of America, and I should think they would at least be interested in looking at this.
Very good.
So
I will get on that.
Okay. And, you know, please keep us updated. And that is joshwolf.net, J-O-S-H-W-O-L-F, no E on the end there, just
no
wolf,
e. dot
net. Net. And people can educate themselves on it. And
And I've done a lot on powersandmorrison.com on it.
Okay. And, again, tell folks which column is yours at Powers and Morrison.
It's Atypical Truth. My name's Cody Mollica.
Okay, Cody, thank you so much. I'm glad you called in. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope we'll have more, and I hope you will update on this as it develops.
I will, thanks.
All right, take care. And let's see, onward to David calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Hope your weekend was a good one.
I guess it was all right.
Oh, come on. Give me a smile, David. Jeez, I'm getting a complex here.
I don't know, man. Weekends for me tend to blur.
I've lived in the land of blurry weekends. I understand.
I mean, not because of the...
Well, darn, because that's why mine were.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I wanted to comment on was this stupid spinach thing.
No.
don't.
Spinach of terror?
Yeah, I'm going to make it real quick. If they, and I know why they didn't do it. If they would have just put in the headline, bag spinach banned. Frozen spinach still okay to use. But see, the reason why they didn't do that is because they could continue the dialogue and discussion for minutes upon minutes upon minutes. So does that include frozen spinach? No, it doesn't include frozen spinach. I didn't know that.
I made some fabulous spinach dip just over the weekend with frozen spinach, and we're here to talk about it, so I got to feel pretty good about it. But, yeah, you're right.
They did it on purpose. It's the way you frame it. If you don't have anything for the week and you need something to keep the cycle going to just some kind of fluff story that doesn't take a lot of investigation, frozen spinach will do. bag spinach. I mean, it wasn't even – I mean, if this was 1968 or 1970, people would have probably done exactly what it would have been the page 20, section D.
Well, yeah, but again, it also plays into something that I mentioned late last week, and that is the fact that it makes everything a little bit more terrifying. They didn't say outright that Al-Qaeda got our spinach, but you know that the fear-mongering that's gone on, David, that's got to be part of it. You know, and then lo and behold, I said it last week, and then today I heard some report, I think it might have been during our Quality News Network broadcast, where they said authorities have ruled out an intentional poisoning of the spinach crop.
There isn't much to say about it. I mean, I thought the way they framed it, they're so good at framing at it. I'll give them that. I thought, all spinach is gone?
Yeah, well, canned spinach, frozen spinach, bagged spinach.
Yeah, that's what I thought when they said spinach.
But of course, that's the thing. Unless I am profoundly wrong, and one of my scientist listeners will correct me because they do when I screw up like this. If you took that bagged spinach and cooked it to 170 degrees. And held it there for X number of minutes, even if it was E. coli infested, it wouldn't hurt you. But what we're talking about are these bagged greens that I've been suspicious of, quite frankly, for a long time, David, because there's something, I don't know, lettuce doesn't even taste right anymore. And I haven't felt good about lettuce ever since I found out that it's got rocket fuel in it. Yeah, no kidding. The bagged lettuce that, it's people using it on salads. And I love a baby spinach salad, but you're gonna have this, 2 years ago it was Sheetz hot dogs and Roma tomatoes. And the trip before that was Chi-Chi's restaurants and green onions, or scallions as we call them in the foodie business. They've always been green onions to me. But the fact of the matter is, any fresh produce runs this risk if it is not processed in absolutely clean circumstances, because E. coli can exist in the ground and it can exist in caca too. I mean, it just does. That's nature.
Right. Just because the place is called organic foods doesn't mean they do the process.
Well, and more than anything, yeah. And we're finding out now that the word organic doesn't mean what we think organic does or should mean.
Well, when you have to supply to so many people, that's, people take shortcuts, and that's the problem we have in this country. We take way too many shortcuts on everything.
Well, one of the single most frequently purchased organic product, David, is milk. because Mama goes through the grocery store and she says, oh, organic milk from happy cows out in a pasture somewhere. My children want to drink happy milk. And she buys organic milk, never knowing that just because you call it organic doesn't mean that that cow has never seen the light of day. It sits there, or if it's seen the light of day, it's never wandered in a pasture. It walks on a concrete or a gravel feedlot, and it eats the high levels of corn and soybeans, which aren't good for it. It's not intended to eat, and in addition to that, it eats silage and hay. But, you know, because among other things, the food industry, with its K Street lobbyists in Washington, lobbied Congress to make sure that a cow that has never set foot on so much as a square inch of pasture can still give milk that's called organic. That's what you get, and Mama picks up the organic milk and thinks she's doing something good when it's not much different, minus the bovine growth hormone, than any other milk on the shelf.
I'm in agreement with you there.
You know, again, there is not one aspect of American life, David, that has not in some way been polluted or tainted by the lobbying projects that, you know, the Congress has put its imprimatur upon. And we want to blame, you know, we want to blame Republicans for this, but as David Sirota noted very, very well earlier this week, we've got a little problem in the Democratic Party with lobbyists as well, because, you know, Rahm Emanuel is running around out there touting the fact that he's shaken down the corporate money as well or better than any Republican out there. And frankly, as a Democrat, that's nothing that makes me proud. I don't know about you.
I don't know, Like I said, the pressing issues, you just got to continue marching on and go to something that you can make a difference in or
make
an impact in.
Exactly. And well,
there's not much you can do about spinach.
No.
And then just go to something else. But see, that's the problem with our media in general. We don't go to something else. For example, you were talking about This goes on to my next point or my next topic that I wanted to bring up. We were talking about jailed journalists and jailed writers and suppressed thought, and a lot of people on the particular left, progressive, their excuse has always been, oh well, I don't have the infrastructure or the network, or I frankly don't have the time. Well, I'd like to direct somebody to somebody's attention. His name is Mumia Jamal. He's in death row, people. He doesn't even have a freaking pen. He has a stylist. Okay, it's like from this. They made it like so he has to write from the 15th century. So he's a stylist in hand. He does commentary by calling up a payphone. So don't give me this crap about not having the infrastructure to get your message out and your word out. If you have something to say, say it.
Exactly. And that's kind of why we're here.
And I probably don't have time to call, but I don't have time to play it, but I'll play. He has a commentary this week, brilliant, on why we won't go to war with Iran. It's 3 minutes and 50 seconds, but I'll play it during the end of the show because I bet the music's going to come on any minute now.
Well, we're kind of heading that way, and I don't know that, you know, quality and everything being what it is. Can you shoot me the audio or direct me to the audio?
Yeah, I can shoot you the audio. It's really good quality too.
Okay.
You know what? It sounds like it's from. This is how good Mumia is. It sounds like it's from a studio, but he's on a payphone. And the way they do it is they first it like every minute 30 seconds they start the tape again because they have these ID tags in the middle of it.
Phone call is coming to you from a correctional institution.
Right. They have that. But Mumia's found. So, people, don't give me that you don't have. You can't get your message out. Mumia Jamal is getting his message out, and I really don't know the particulars on his case. All I know is he's continuing to be passionate about what he wants to discuss out there, and he's finding a way through prisonradio.org to get his message out. And if he can do that from a payphone in jail, just think what any people listening right now can do.
Well, exactly. And that goes to the overall idea, David, of what we can do as a whole if we set our minds to it. So you're absolutely right. You know, I can't only guarantees failure. I'll try guarantees possible success.
You never know who's listening, and you never know how someone is going to react to what you're saying. Always keep that in mind. And
you'd be surprised, but I do try to keep that in mind.
You never know which mind you're going to. I'm talking to the general people who are naysaying this point. And I'm saying that you never know whose mind you're going to spark. Maybe you're completely defeated, but that person that you're sparking right now is a gladiator. So people, keep that in mind.
Exactly. David, thank you so much.
No problem, Bob.
All right, talk to you soon.
Later.
I'm going to make David laugh one of these days. I promise you. Let's see. Where to? Luke. Luke joins us, our good friend from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, fine. Oh, before I get started, let me give you two quick programming things.
Okay.
Tonight, Mr. Olbermann, I believe, is doing one of his editorials again.
Oh, good.
Which is always good. And tonight on The Daily Show, it's the big dog.
Oh, yeah, Bill Clinton is going to be on The Daily Show tonight, isn't he?
That ought to be good. So
I fully expect to see John Stewart blush or do a handstand or sweat or something.
Fall down and go, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, you're exactly. Yeah. Diddly-doo.
Okay, let's see. First of all, for you, how did you enjoy the movie news?
Oh, wait, which?
The Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Now, I couldn't get that. They're going to make a movie of Mr. Peabody and Sherman, but is it going to be live action?
I couldn't tell.
I couldn't either.
But I saw it, and I said, I had to send that to you. I just knew you'd love it.
You know, and do we get the voices? Or do we get somebody who can do a reasonable approximation of the voices? Because wasn't Mr. Peabody voiced by Wally Cox?
Yeah, one time. Don Adams did Tennessee Tuxedo, I'm sorry.
Right.
Making it out there. Well, I say there's so many good ones nowadays. I tell you, there's two or three out there that could do just about anybody. But let me go on because we'll talk about that forever. You know how that is. I see the Kabuki Theater is in full effect now. This thing now with McCain and them, it's sort of like,
oh, it's a sham, Luke.
Well, like I say, it's sort of like, welcome to the Arlen Specter Kabuki Theater. Yes, we're all against this. And like I say, when the door's closed, can I sign it first? Please, let me sign it first.
I'll sign it so big that George Bush can read it without his spectacles.
Uh-huh. But how did you enjoy the thing about the free speech zone?
Two weeks,
and so far not one liberal.
No,
there have been at least four conservatives already on it.
Yeah, and let's see. Flush Flemball gets to negotiate, talking about the free speech zone on the...
Then Friday night I was listening...
The Couric Broadcasting System News, yeah.
And during his thing, before he got to his new rules, he was talking to them and said, oh, by the way, I was invited to do this, and I told them I want to speak on religion, and they said no. They said, we'll send you over a list of the topics you can talk on.
Yeah, because when Bill Maher talks about religion, and this is the thing that has me confused about Bill Maher, because I lost so much respect for Bill Maher in the rape of Lebanon. Yeah. But by the same token, this guy's an atheist.
Yeah.
So, you know, that made it kind of weird with him on the whole Israel-Lebanon thing. But beyond that, you know that he would get on there and tell people that they were all just bugs, you know, crazier than a run-over dog for having religion.
It's like he just stand up and just start holding up pictures, holding up Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, said, you're listening to these people. These people are insane.
And it only gets worse, Luke, because I was turned on to... by our good friend Lottie in the chat room, as well as our good friend David down in Nashville, this new documentary that's out, I don't know if you've seen anything about it yet, called Jesus Camp. Have you seen this?
No.
If you go to YouTube, you can watch the trailer. Just search Jesus Camp on YouTube. And everything that I've been saying about right-wing fundamentalism, everything I've been saying about, R.J. Rush Dooney and Christian Reconstructionism and its little kissing cousin, Christian Dominionism, will come into full play. This is an award-winning documentary. It's one at the tribe.
You rewrite the history books?
No, these are people who are sending their little children, I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, to Jesus Camp, where they sing songs about going to war for Christ, and they pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, sort of like I was taught to in the Southern Baptist Church.
We can go into that even further. You remember probably about a year, 6 months to a year ago, the two little girls that were like 13 or something that came out that their parents are Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Prussian Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're a little singing group, and they're just downright Aryan Nation all the way.
Well, these are more along the lines of Kill the Infidel.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. It runs from there to that.
Yeah, yeah. This is a terrifying vision of the future of America. If they are not somehow opposed, I don't want to stop them believing that they got to go to war with the rest of the world. I just don't want them being able to make government policy. And the fact of the matter,
we don't want to think about it, but we don't want them to be able to do it.
Right. It starts with Jesus Camp, and it goes up through the Patrick Henry Law School that turns out little fundy lawyers. I mean, you can also go to IMDb.com, the Internet Movie Database. You can go to IMDb.com and look up Jesus Camp, and there's a couple of reviews in there, one of which says that in the film you will see children smashing mugs with the word government on them and see them instructed that science has nothing to teach you.
I'm wondering if Mr. D's and the people at the Southern Law,
SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yeah. The Southern Poverty Law Center. I wonder if they've started a nice little file on these groups.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if even the SPLC nerve to...
This cultish.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's pure and simple cultish, but the thing is, for instance, if you go to that IMDb segment and you read the reviews, you'll see some little religion industrialist has written in saying, well, this is just a little Pentecostal sect, and it's not like it's like all of us evangelicals. And the problem is that person is a moron, because it is about all the evangelicals, Luke, because they've all been infiltrated. That meeting of the Christian Reconstructionists was held at the Georgia Southern Baptist Life Center in, what, I think, Toccoa, Georgia. The Baptists have been infiltrated. The Methodists have been infiltrated. The Presbyterians have been infiltrated by these Christian Reconstructionists.
The same exact people who were behind the path to 9/11. You know what I mean? That's what
might very well be.
Is.
Yeah,
I mean that's the ones that like we're going to take on the liberal those God hating liberals in Hollywood. You know how it is.
Well, right, and we saw George Allen do that. When he called the young man Macaca.
Well, the thing of it was, I watched that thing Sunday. I'll be honest, I watched a little bit of that, and it's like Allen really should get off TV. He really should.
He's got a face made for radio. I mean,
I mean, every time you listen to him, the longer he talks, the worse he gets. You know what I mean? It's like, it's okay. You know, he probably sounds reasonable in small clips. Boy, when he talks for a half hour, after a while you get that feeling when you're watching him, he's going, I'm 10 times better than any of you. You know?
Exactly.
The way he looks at people and talks to them. You know what I mean? He talks down to people. But this all
ties together, Luke. These are the people who send their little children off to there's footage of them. If you just watch the trailer, there's footage of them wearing camos with face paint, striking sticks together, marching up and down. It's straight out of the Hitler Youth. And the thing is, these are the people who will.
Don't want to think where they're going to be.
Well, but it's not just that. These are the people, Luke, who, like David was saying, yes, you can get their message out. These people are highly motivated because they think they're doing it for Jesus, and they think that they're going to get a better condo on the Heavenly Way or whatever. Because of what they do. So they will pick up their phones and they will call congressmen all day long to tell them to quit opposing our dear leader when he wants to torture them heathens.
It's like I say, I'm just waiting for this thing coming up now. Like I say, once the Kabuki Theater turns around and gives up Bush everything he wants to, the stupid guy, then once they give him everything he wants to, it's like I said, I think once after the election, I'd say anybody wants to go to Iran, sign up now.
Yep.
Because like I say, I'd say once the election's over, if we don't take back the House or the Senate, like I say, I'd say everybody saddle up. We're heading in.
Probably
got the bombers. Yes, let's get them up. See how fast we can get them up. Come on, we're having those races. with a stopwatch. Come on, we can get them up.
The only
fast.
Problem is everything else is broken. Oh, brother.
But that's if they go there, that's what they're going to do though. Is just be bombers.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, I see it's top there, but...
Yeah, we got to roll. Thanks, Luke, for everything. Have a great evening. Bye now. And, the news is coming up. You got about 5 minutes or so in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. Our good friend, moderator extraordinaire Lottie, has posted a link to the YouTube trailer for Jesus Camp. You got about 5 minutes now. You won't be missing any show. Go have a look. And then share with me your thoughts. which are always welcome at 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Implement a plan that will avert a full-scale civil war. He spoke at a meeting held at the UN headquarters in New York that was attended by Iraq's President Jalal Talabani and U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. President Bush will speak before the UN General Assembly tomorrow and plans to meet with six foreign leaders over the next 3 days, including Talabani and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In Iraq today, dozens of people were killed in suicide bombings and gunfire. The Iraqi government is planning new security measures in Baghdad as the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan approaches. During that time, violence traditionally increases in the country. In Iraq, Al-Qaeda militants are demanding a full retraction from Pope Benedict, not just an apology, about a comment he made about Islam and violence. Iran's leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, joined in criticizing the Pope, saying his remark is a, quote, latest chain of the crusade against Islam started by America's George W. Bush. In Somalia, officials say there may be a link between the assassination of an Italian nun and her bodyguard and the Pope's comments. Gunmen shot and killed the two at a children's hospital in Mogadishu. Across Afghanistan today, 19 people were killed in several suicide bombings. Four Canadian soldiers are among the dead. China says it's increasing the number of troops it'll be sending to Lebanon to 1,000. They'll join peacekeeping forces from a number of other countries, including Spain, Italy, France, Ghana, and India. Israel's cabinet has approved the appointment of an investigative committee to look into how Israel's recent war with Hezbollah was conducted by both the government and the military. In London today, 13 men charged in connection with a failed bomb plot appeared in court. 11 face charges, including conspiracy to murder. The other two are charged with preparing terrorism. Another court date has been set for October 27th. The FDA says tampering is not suspected in the recent E. coli outbreak linked to fresh spinach. The outbreak has been linked to two California companies, Natural Selection Foods and River Ranch Fresh Foods. One woman has died, and at least 109 people have fallen ill in 19 states. Hurricane Helene has strengthened to a Category 3 storm in the Atlantic.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, everybody gotten a chance to see the Jesus Camp trailer? Are you scared yet? If you aren't, you aren't paying attention. And, you know, since it's just the trailer there, I do. I really do encourage you to go to imdb.com and type in Jesus Camp and read the reviews and watch the apologists. See the reviews that, you know, and they've been told to, you know, they've been told to go to IMDb and you know, dispel the myth of the dangerous fundies. You know what? I don't care how mad the American Family Association gets. Rosie O'Donnell on this particular account is dead right. Fundy religion industry people in the United States are every bit as dangerous as fundamentalist Islam, as fundamentalist anything else. It's the fundamentalism that makes it dangerous, because these are people who have traded in their brains, their intellect, what little they may have had, for what? For the word of authoritarian monsters who mean them no good in the first place and use them only as a wool producer uses sheep to fleece them. Back to the phones. Our good friend Sarge calls from southern Mississippi. Sarge, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, did you see where my Golden Eagles creamed those North Carolina State?
I was so proud.
Boy, we dominated them, but that's a different ballgame.
I got a feeling Chuck Amato may be on the way out up there in Raleigh.
Well, I tell you what, we had them all the way. There was no doubt about it. They were just poor. But that's not it.
I needed some help from Auburn that I did not get, Sarge.
I noticed that.
Dadgum LSU Tigers got themselves ripped off in a large, large way.
Well, you know, I've got two favorite teams, Southern Miss and whoever Ole Miss is playing.
which in this case was who this week? They lost. Mississippi. Ole Miss is just god awful this year.
Good. I love to see. What I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
By the way, Cody, who you talked to,
uh-huh,
he has interviewed Josh in person, and he lives in the area, and I have, and not unintentionally, assigned him to do the interview for you on you this week for Powers and Morrison's.
Oh, I think we'll have. Yeah, I think we'll have a wonderful conversation.
Well, he has been assigned to interview you, and like we're going to be highlighting you guys all this week. Agnes was interviewed earlier by Freckles.
I was here for that.
And so from what I heard, a very good interview.
Yes, it was. I know. Agnes was just tickled to death to talk to her.
Well, you know, one thing about what Cody was talking about, I'm so glad that you let him talk, because we've been trying to get this word out for some time. And we had a lot of trouble last week trying to get a certain host, whose name I won't mention, but he claims to be dangerous.
Uh-huh.
But he wouldn't put Cody on because the story was just too controversial. And so we're glad that you...
Well, you know, we don't shy from that kind of thing, Sarge. That's a fact. And my good friend and compadre Bruce Birch gave me a bumper sticker a week and a half ago, well, last week when we were in D.C., and it said, "My job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable."
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a pretty good way to live as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, the thing about it, if you let things go on like what's happening with Josh, and there's one case I know of that's happening in Michigan that I'm investigating, and then I've got this situation here and with Katrina that has gotten so big that I've uncovered some major wrongdoing, and it's so big that it got beyond my scope, and I just had to turn it over to Greg Palace.
Well, I hope he picks up and runs with it, because there is a lot of dirty, dirty stuff has surrounded.
This has gotten so big, Bob, that the governor has started looking into who leaked it, and it's coming back on me some. I'm catching some flack off.
Well, you know what our good friend Mike Malloy says: watch your back.
I'm having to, man, because these people are starting to scare me a little bit.
Well, and the thing is, the harder you press, the more they'll try to scare.
Yeah, and I'm just stupid enough that I'll keep pressing. I just don't know how to back away.
Sometimes that's not stupidity, Sarge. Sometimes that's dedication to what this country's supposed to be all about.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob. The things that are going on right here, they're not just coming from the governor's office. They're coming above the governor as well. But he's in on it, and he's in deep. And what I have uncovered, I can't say because it's just too. I'd rather let Greg do it, okay? Let's put it that way.
I understand.
But it's so deep that I fear for my contact's life.
And well, then the best thing that can happen is to try to shine as much light on it as possible, because no good happens in the shadows, Sergeant. You know that.
Yeah, and I've been catching some flack, and I'm starting to get a little concerned because I'm thinking it might be traveling time for the old Sarge. You know?
Well, man, when it's
back up, get out of Dodge.
Yeah, when it's time to roll, you don't let the dust gather under your feet nor the moss grow.
Well, you know, Bob, what scares me is people give me this excuse. I have to work so long. I have to work 14, 16 hours just to keep afloat. Well, you know, I have to ask them, what do you have that you can part with? I mean, what do you absolutely not need that you own? Because that's what you're really working for. You're not working for your necessities. You're working for your luxuries.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of truth in that, Sarge. You know, Well, you know, look, I'm not gonna sit here and lie or say anything that isn't true. We made a lot of those choices when we started the Head On Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say we, I'm talking about the people who are principally behind this endeavor.
But you had to give up something to do it, didn't you?
Well, sure. I'll be honest. I'm not tooting my own trumpet. Agnes works like a crazy woman. Zach comes in and carries his part of the load. I carry some of the load. There's 50 hours of programming most of which comes through here, all of which goes through the servers of the White Rose Society. Shelby LePre at radiopower.org is working her rear end off, making all of this happen. And somewhere along the way, each and every person has made, whether it's Ben Birch, Bruce Birch, me, John Fox, Guy James, Mark Levine, Dr. Bill O'Brien, everybody has made a value judgment somewhere along the way. And that's what makes me so proud about what we're doing at the Horn, is that these are real people. These aren't so-called professional celebrities.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, and I'm not trying to patronize you at all, but you are not doing something that's fluff. You're doing something that is a necessity, because I have looked around and I have seen Horn is the best thing I've found to date, because you're not scared to bring up a topic. You're not scared of the truth. You listen to the listeners and the callers, and to me, that's the way it should be done.
Well, it's the only little thing, and we hope it gets to be a great big thing, Sarge. But it's the only thing that we felt like we could do, and by we, I include the entire Horn family, to try to save this nation.
Well, well, we at Powers and Morrison concur 100%, and that's why we're having this special week for you guys, because we're telling everybody, call your local radio stations, tell them, I want the Horn. I want the Horn on your station. Carry them. And if we get enough people to speak out and say, I want the Horn, then these terrestrial stations are going to pick Horn up. And that's what it's going to take.
Well, and I think we can maybe help focus that strategy a little bit somewhere along the way, Sarge. And maybe I can email and explain a little bit of it to you somewhere along the way. And
we can
make it focused and make it kind of make sense.
All you need, though, is you need someone from PNM with a show, don't you?
We do. We're doing 50 hours a week, and if we were doing 65 hours a week, we'd be thrilled to death, because you know what? The goal is, now, our first anniversary, Sarge, will be October the 24th, 2006.
Well,
not far away. But
I tell you what, talk to Bruce. I think he might fill you in on something.
All right. Well,
listen, Bob, I appreciate everything you're doing.
No trouble at all, Sarge.
Again, thank you so much for letting Cody get on, and let's not let Josh go down. And as soon as I can, I'm going to alert you to a story I'm working on in Michigan.
Sounds great. Please do. We look forward to it, Sarge. You be well, and seriously, keep an eye out, all right?
All right, I'll be watching my back.
All right, you do that. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye now. And we roll on, no break, to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, my pleasure, buddy. I just got, you know, a little message for Sarge. There's lots of places to hide in West Virginia, brother.
That's what the hollers are all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and we'll certainly help you out. I don't know so much about it, but I got friends that could hide you in a cave, they'd never find you. Of course, I don't know if you'd ever find your way out either.
Well, but see, that's the thing. The federal government apparently can't find anybody in a cave.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Even them great big tall guys.
Yeah, with 6'4" with portable dialysis machines, yeah. Of course, maybe that's how we hide Sarge.
That's got to be an urban legend. I mean, if that dude's still alive, would he not win some Guinness book or something for the longest surviving dialysis?
Well, you know, the CIA has repeatedly come out, Wayne, and said he's not on dialysis. You know, but that's what they don't deny. He is 6'4". He is living in a cave, and he is wandering around. But hey, Osama, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, you want some chips? You know, hey, come here. You know, I got a kebab for you.
Well, yeah, and the truth is you can't always trust them CIA guys. You know?
No, really?
Especially these days.
Well, you know, it's scary. I read an article over the weekend, Wayne. Did you know? And this is one of those, you know, sort of, you know, you just yank at your hair. We got more people who aren't CIA working for the CIA than we do who are CIA. We have outsourced the CIA. I think it was the L.A. Times that covered it. We've got thousands of people who are so-called contract workers for the CIA.
Well, did you read that article? Was it in the Times yesterday, or what day is this? Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday. I think it was in the Times yesterday, or maybe it was Saturday, about all the people that we sent to rebuild Iraq that had absolutely no credentials whatsoever, except they were loyal to George W. Bush and the Republican.
Kind of makes you understand why it is they're needing to build. Yeah, makes you understand why they need to dig moats around Baghdad now, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. And I want to, you know, and that kind of gets me to the point that I called. You mentioned earlier on that in this particular case, Rosie O'Donnell was exactly right.
Yeah.
I so believe that, you know, and I don't always agree with Rosie O'Donnell, let me tell you that, but. You know, like, think about, I mean, all this, and you know me, Bob, you know I'm not a real religious man, but all these Christians and people that profess their faith and everything and are still supporters of the Republican Party, I mean, my God, look what the platform of your party is. The president, the leader of your party, is going to Congress and asking them to legalize torture. That's what he is asking. Their whole platform is, and I don't know how this fits into a Christian thing, their whole platform is that we must become more evil, more vile, more Satanistic or sardonic or however you would say it. We have to become more barbaric than the people we're fighting in order to beat them. That's what they're telling us.
Yeah,
where in the hell does that fit into any kind?
Well, it doesn't. That's why it's so easy, Wayne, and boy, I can make people's eyes roll back in genuine boredom when I start down this road. That's why it's so easy to make comparisons to things like ancient Rome. This isn't Christianity. This is the cult of Divine Caesar.
That's what it is.
You know, the original Christians, when the real persecutions took place, Wayne, they were persecuted because they were hauled up in front of a local magistrate and said, look, okay, we understand you're a Christian, you know, that's okay, but what we need you to do is swear an oath to Caesar and say that Caesar's a god too. And they went, can't do it, and they went, off to the lions with you. Now that's persecution. This isn't. You know, Rosie O'Donnell saying that these people are dangerous is not persecution.
No, it isn't. But what the George Bush administration wants to do is.
Well, yeah. I mean, I will never forget. I will never forget one of the few moments of soft-hearted judgment that I exercised in my radio career thus far was when Alberto Gonzalez was being confirmed, and he was sitting back there with his two little kids and his wife, and sitting there telling the Senate that torture was anything that didn't that it wasn't torture if it didn't cause organ failure or death. And I kept thinking, you know, and I wanted to get on the air and say, you know, okay, look, we're going to stand your kid up on a little on a cinder block, and we're going to hook him up to a battery jumper cable. And, you know, we're not going to cause him organ failure or death, Mr. Gonzalez. You tell us whether or not that's torture. But I didn't do that then. But the fact of the matter is, I think I probably should have, because that's where we are now. We are at a, you know, we've got kids who are less than 16 years old in Guantanamo.
Listen. Do you remember, what got me on this whole thing was I just came back late from the opening of the Democratic headquarters down in Hinton, down in Summers County. And Congressman Ray Hall was there. And, you know, if you remember, and I'm sure you do, Congressman Ray Hall was at the picnic.
Yeah.
And Congressman Ray Hall said that the Republicans are evil.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, there was great.
Oh, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
And screaming and yelling and bashing in the newspapers on radio and yada, yada, yada. What a terrible. Well, my question to my Christian brother and sisters are, what do you call trying to make torture legal if you don't call it evil? I would really like an answer to that question.
Well, and see, this is one of those moments, Wayne, where I have to say that you, and I don't mean you, I mean the you generally, but it includes you. We.
I hope this is good.
Yeah, no, we cannot engage in legitimate debate or dialogue with these people, because if you say you can't torture people, their answer is, well, we're not. And then you say, but you're sticking their head in the water until they're about to drown, and you're keeping them in 50-degree rooms, and you're throwing ice water on them every 15 minutes, and you're, you know, you're letting them fall asleep for 5 minutes, and you're poking them with a sharp stick, and never let, and they say that's torture, and they say no, it's not. None of that's torture to them. Now, if you did it to them, it would be torture. That's why I keep arguing that there is a boatload of inherent racism inside of all of this.
Well, certainly. Well, you know, it's class warfare. I mean,
But how can you begin to have this dialogue when you can't even agree on the terms?
And you can't see. What I'm talking about is, I said at this meeting tonight. Talk for a minute. I said, and I think it's a very important thing, it's time for Democrats and people that feel and think like we do to stop being polite. To stop being polite to Uncle John or Aunt Agnes or Aunt somebody or your friend who is completely confused and on the other side, and they say some ridiculous thing and you just let it go by. These people have to be challenged. They have to be told, no, Uncle John, on this point, you're absolutely wrong, pal, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
And rather that's, you know, your uncle, your aunt, your neighbor, your brother, whoever it is, we have to start speaking out.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, that's what one of our biggest faults is. You have liberal Democrats that if you call them a liberal, they'll get all excited and start arguing with you. There's nothing wrong with being liberal.
No, but you see, and this is the, you know, you started this inquiry, Wayne, by saying, how can those people be Christians? All right. Well, here's how you can prove that they're not, because with any of these, stick waterboarding, so-called induced stress positions, you know, when you hang somebody up by their thumbs from their jail cell doors like we did at Abu Ghraib. Any one of these things that Rush Limbaugh says is nothing more than a fraternity prank and sells T-shirts that call it Club Gitmo, any one of these things, Wayne, if you ask a right-winger, if it's not torture, is it okay if we do it to you?
Yeah.
Well, then they'll scream, because then it will kick in, and this is what separates them from anything remotely resembling true Christianity. Then they will realize, hey, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because, you know, not torturing people under common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention, it's the very embodiment of so-called Christianity. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In other words, if you don't want your captured soldiers waterboarded or put in stress positions or have their fingernails ripped out, you know, you'll survive them all, but it's torture. If you don't want it done to them, don't do it to theirs. And George Bush doesn't get this. The Christian right doesn't get this. The supporters of the Republican Party don't get this. And I submit to you that John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Colin Powell, and John Warner of Virginia don't get it either, because they will wind up knuckling under to George Bush as sure as God made little green apples.
Joe, I agree with you 100%. And thanks for mentioning my religion. Do unto other religions.
I thought it had something to do with little green apples. You had me confused for a minute.
No green apples, just do unto others.
Yeah.
That's my religion.
Yeah, that and
you know. I don't know, brother. It's, I think these people are self-exploding, you know. I predicted this a long time ago. I did get to watch that clip with, who's the reporter, and Bush.
David Gregory?
David Gregory?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy's losing. He's really going to lose it.
Yeah, he's come completely unglued. You know, you're morally... I mean,
I know he has the right to, but they won't let him carry a gun, will they?
It's worse, man. They let him carry the nuclear suitcase. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but that's some dude. One of them right-wing guys had the guy that carried the suitcase for Clinton on, and he said, oh, that ABC thing, that was really right on, you know. Wouldn't you like to interview the guy that carries the suitcase for Bush? I mean, if he'd tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really the suitcase. We left that at home.
Okay. All right, well, listen, just, you know, tell Sarge, West Virginia, pal.
All right, he's watching in the chat room, Wayne.
Okay, brother.
All right, later, man.
All right, bye.
Take care. Listen, quick break. We'll come back and take more of your phone calls. I got a couple of open lines if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network. Me, well, you know, I'm Bob.
President's a fool. I don't want to get up early, and I wish I had a good sip drink. I'm trying to be less polite. I want to call a spade a spade. I want to stop the war, because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave. I'm trying to be less polite. I'm trying to be less polite. I'm fed up with the Christian wrong.
Listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The Association of Flight Attendants have vowed to appeal a judge's ruling that Northwest Airlines flight attendants cannot strike. The ruling late last week by U.S. District Court Judge Victor Marrero overturns a previous bankruptcy court ruling by Judge Alan Groper that said the flight attendants have the right to strike under the Railway Labor Act. In his 104-page ruling, Marrero said the Railway Labor Act is intended to provide a resolution of employee-worker disputes and not to give workers license to engage in open industrial hostilities. Even though Marrero had told the two sides on August 29th to continue discussions while he made his decision, they still have not sat down since July. The union says the proposed contracts from Northwest would amount to a 40% pay cut for many flight attendants. They currently earn on average $46,800 per year. Prison workers in Washington State are unhappy with the governor's most recent contract proposal. Represented by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, the 5,000 workers have been asked to vote down the final contract offer from the governor. A state law sets a October 1st deadline for approval of union contracts. The same law, according to the state, makes it illegal for state workers to strike. The Teamsters say that's a gray area, but because of the type of service prison workers provide, most of the workers would be unwilling to walk off the job anyway. Starbucks is being sued for discrimination after a woman with psychiatric problems was fired. The lawsuit is being brought by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, who investigated the case for a year before determining that the company had violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. Lawyers for the EEOC are seeking $40,000 in lost wages and up to $300,000 in punitive damages. Government workers in California's San Joaquin County have authorized their union the power to call a strike. Represented by the Service Employees International Union, the main issue is health care benefits. The union has called the county's working conditions substandard in comparison to the rest of the state. A contract extension expires on October 31st. Here is today's economic report. The most recent issue of Business Week asks the question, what's really propping up the economy? The answer, according to the magazine, is the healthcare industry. Since 2001, the healthcare industry has added 1.7 million new jobs. The magazine says the number of private sector jobs has not grown in that same amount of time. They call the information technology sector one of the biggest job growth disappointments of all time, with that sector employing fewer Americans today than in 1998.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the hour. And yes, I understand. I'm a fan, too. The Steelers are playing tonight. I'm sorry, the Stillers. And if you have to go away from the radio program for the Stillers, well, you know, you can always watch it with the sound down. It's not like you're getting anything out of the commentary.
Agnes wants to know the school.
And Agnes wants updates, and so do I. We're shallow people. because we got all these internets, but we don't know how to find the score. Let's go to the phones. Susan joins us, our good friend from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I think I found something that scared me.
Yeah, spinach.
No.
Jesus camp.
Yeah.
You should be. I mean.
It makes me think of that movie. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was in the 50s. Children of the Damned.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Fiction movie.
Yeah, frankly, yeah, it's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Dawn of the Dead. It should have one of those disclaimers, and no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes.
Right. You know, it's just really creepy.
Well, you know, that part where the lady's saying about how they admire... They admire the terrorist mommies and daddies who help their children be willing to die for their faith.
Uh-huh.
That should just send a sickening, nauseating wave of fear and terror through this country.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's the latest. It's the American chapter of the Hitler Youth. In a way, it kind of dovetails into what I was thinking about.
Yes.
Back before my job got outsourced to another country, I used to do telephone technical support for printers.
Okay.
Which was both hilarious at times and screamingly frustrating. But it turned out that I did worked a 5-to-2 shift, and it turned out that I was sitting at my computer with my headset on, and all of a sudden, on one September morning, all the phones stopped ringing.
Just stopped ringing.
Yep. Every phone in the joint stopped ringing. And there's this big, big room with nothing but phones in it, and somebody said, get on the net. And we discovered that the Trade Center had been hit. And over the course of that day and the days after, I noticed something in talking. I was talking to people from all over the world. And I noticed something. The people that turned out to be right-wingers were panicked. They were completely freaked until they went into it seems like they calmed themselves by going into this, everything will be okay, Bush will know what to do, da 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 da.
Well, that's because they, have you seen the John Dean book, Susan? Conservatives Without Conscience?
I haven't read it yet, no.
He goes into great length to explain the science, or the scientific study that has been done to explain what he calls the authoritarian mindset.
Yeah, they couldn't think without him telling them what to do.
Right.
The people that turned out to be either left-wingers or liberals or independents, they were just flat-pegged. They wanted somebody's head. They were willing to wait to find out who it was that did it.
Yeah.
But they wanted somebody's head.
Well, I said this, and I took such, back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio, Susan, I had real live genuine right-wingers who would call you, you've forgotten the lessons of 9/11. Yeah, and this was a matter of months, not years after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And as a consequence, and I said, no, I haven't, because to this day, I don't want somebody hauling Osama bin Laden's ugly head out of a cave. I want bin Laden brought alive to New York City. I want him tried at Ground Zero, and I want him executed at Ground Zero.
Oh, that sounds nice. And another thing, it always blew me away, because I would get on these message boards, and one of the first things I was saying was, fill them back. Put them back.
You mean the buildings?
You bet.
And
the right-wingers were, it was a matter of money and so on and so forth, but the attitude behind it was, and a lot of other liberals were saying the same thing, if you don't put something there, they win. The right-wingers were saying, no.
We want to put up a statue.
Put up another building and they bomb it again.
Well, but under that kind of thinking, Susan, that means we just don't ever build anything else.
Yeah, and all of us were busily, they live with this horrible, horrible fear every day. And we're, all of us liberals are saying, guys, if they want to hit you, they're gonna.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent, they're gonna hit, if they want to hit us, they're going to. They're gonna hit us, Susan, if we've got an administration that is asleep at the switch. If we've
got
a president who gets a daily briefing in August on vacation called Osama Determined to Strike Inside U.S. and does nothing about it. Who, in the first days and weeks of his presidency receives the Hart-Rudman report that says our nation's airports are incredibly vulnerable, and instead of passing it over to Richard Clark, he hands it off to Brownie, literally, at FEMA.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
those are the circumstances under which we get hit.
Yeah, everything that had to do with terror, because it had anything to do with Clinton, he dumped it.
Yeah.
The whole thing, he was, the whole mindset is...
Well, do you remember what the right wing, I don't even know if you were listening to it, probably not, because you've got all your faculties, and people who listen to right-wing radio tend to lose some of theirs. But in the first days of the Bush presidency, I remember what they were talking about on Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and all those other creeps. They were talking about how the Clinton administration had stolen all the W's off the keyboards.
Oh, that's a crock.
Yeah, and it was. It was an outright lie. It was just pure fabrication. But that's what they were talking about, and how they trashed Air Force One and tried to make it impossible for the Bush administration to govern. And all this time, they were the ones who were ignoring our security needs.
Yeah, and in the process, they're busily trashing the country. The whole mindset is, if they're not so wrapped up in fear that they cannot move, they're busily destroying the country. And I don't know what to do about these people. I really don't.
Well, you're doing part of it right now, Susan. You are refusing to be silenced by right-wing media. You're refusing to be silenced by the people who would have you be silent until they can finally consolidate power. You're talking. You're writing letters. You're paying attention to the issues, and I suspect that when you get the opportunity, you are talking about it in your community. If you're doing that, then you are being a patriot. You are being an American, because silence is un-American.
Yeah, I do have a big mouth. I'm afraid. I'm also trying to get you on Portland, KPOJ.
Oh, we would love to be there, Susan. We've been trying to, you know, we're still more than a month away from being a full year old.
If anybody wants to help, email KPOJ and say, whether you live in Portland area or not, say you want the horn on KPOJ.
And tell them how to contact me.
Yeah.
Because we can feed them a stream just as well as anybody else.
Because they will listen. They will pay attention. If, you know, they have somebody, they know people listen over the internet. They've got it all set up to stream. And hey, they are all set for people to listen to their commercials. They like that.
Oh, we would like that too, Susan.
So the more people who email them and bug these people, the better.
And I think we're going to eventually start a national campaign like that.
Great.
And what I was saying with Sarge earlier, we'll put out some guidelines, and people know their own radio markets as well as anything. But you know, we'll put up things that'll make it easier for people to maybe convince their local radio stations that they want us.
Yeah. Well, if you can find out the email addresses of program directors in wherever. I'll get on it.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Susan, and have a wonderful weekend. Good talking to you this evening.
A weekend.
Did I say a week? Am I already at Friday?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too, Bob.
I got to stop putting so much gin on my mashed potatoes at night.
Yeah, well, hey, they taste better that way.
Okay, you take care, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Lord, I'm running downhill to Friday, aren't I? And I don't even like Fridays. Let's see. Let's go to, there. David in Tennessee, please. Trying to go in order here. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. What a kickoff to the week you're having.
I'm feeling so good about it. It feels like Friday, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, so I heard. Well, now, just a second. I want to be serious for just a few seconds before we get on to Attack of the Killer Spinach. Let's have a moment of reverence and wish well the immortal soul of Ms. Ann Richards.
I have not mentioned her passing because I didn't know quite what to say. But yes.
Our country's produced no finer. I was lucky enough to have met her in campaign situations, and it is only through deceit, trickery, lies, and just the worst of bad negative campaigning that little chimpanzee beat her out of her second term in the state of Texas.
Well, you're right, and frankly, if there's any turnaround to karma, it'll catch up, because you know she died a horrible death. There is no good death to cancer,
especially not esophageal cancer.
No. And to think that he heaped by any stretch of the imagination misery on her, you know, we need this is one of those kumbaya stop and smell the roses kind of moments, I guess, but we need to pay attention to the people whose lives we deliberately try to make miserable. And he deliberately tried to make her life miserable, you know, and because of a psychological sickness, David, because he's got this weird thing going on where he had to compete with Daddy. And that's the only reason he wanted to be governor. The only reason in the world. And he tried to destroy a human being in his attempt to get there.
He did not destroy her, but yes, it was wicked.
He tried.
It was vicious. She stepped away from politics at that point in time because I think she, like so many, realized that in the face of that, you know, she was not willing to sink to his level, nor could she see how to muster enough resource in that venue, in that arena, to fight him on his terms. So she did other work in other places and made very significant impact in campaigning around the nation. I saw her twice in the state of Oregon draw a turn-away crowd. Now, if someone would say a Texan is going to campaign in Oregon for a Democrat over local issues, people with political backgrounds would be doing the Archie, huh? What's that?
Yeah.
I mean, 3 hours before the event, there was no parking in a very large lot. The fire chief showed up. What the heck is going on? It was twice. I saw it happen twice. And through the greatest of good luck, I got to shake her hand once she had extended hers, being the old Southerner that I am. And it was a remarkable experience. Everybody turned out for her. 20-year-old men and women, 70-year-old men and women, and everything, every stripe in between. She was a tremendous person.
Well, she was. And of everything that I read, the most touching words said about her were said by our dear friend Freckles over at powersandmorrison.com and by Molly Ivins. Molly is just wonderful, and Freckles brought a perspective to it of a young lady who was trying to do honor to Ann Richards for the future that Ann Richards had tried to build for her. And having done that, like I said, sometimes I hesitate to mention things, David, because I don't want to cheapen them. But I'm glad that you did.
I can't imagine that however you would have approached it would have cheapened it, but I guarantee you, no matter the age, no matter the background, no matter whoever you are, if you were once in the presence of Ann Richards, you know, in a group of 5,000 or you shook her hand, the touch never runs off.
Well, see, I was in her presence in 1988 in August and saw her when she said, "Poor George, he can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth." And I heard that entire assembled audience of the Democratic National Committee come completely unglued. I heard people in the crowd saying, "Can we just nominate her instead of Dukakis, please?"
Oh, you betcha. Oh, I heard people that didn't care about politics say, "Wait a second, never mind the rest of them. Let's get that one. How do we do that?"
Yeah, and I mean, people were, and she was sharp. Bill Clinton recently remarked on a luncheon he had had with her, Billy Crystal, and this was at the eulogy, her, Billy Crystal, and Robin Williams, and he said it was the first time in their lives that Billy Crystal and Robin Williams had been the second and third funniest people at the table.
I don't doubt that for a second. I firmly believe that. And in terms of being just a true Texan and a campaigner and a person that knew exactly what to say and when to say it, not that it mattered. In the moment or two that I was around her, I mentioned that I was half Texan, and she said, "And that would be," meaning mother or father, and I told her, and I mentioned the county. She knew the highways. She knew most of the city names, not just the county seat. And when I mentioned a town of 700 people, she said, "I've spoken there twice. They enjoyed me and gave a reference to something that happens in that town once a year." Now, that's a truly bright inclusive individual that had it all going.
Yeah.
So that's what. Coming
and I don't think you write that up to politics. You write that up to giving a damn.
Oh, precisely. No, that's about who she was. That's about who she was, how she was. She couldn't be any other way. Well,
the story that Molly Ivins related that I thought was just precious was of a political event where, and she gave, Molly gave the names, and she said at one point that they were all tired, so she, another guy, a black gentleman, a civil rights worker, and Ann Richards had gone to cool their heels back behind the bar at this event. And one of the fellows there was a political operative and knew every old hack Democratic political so-and-so in the state. And she and Molly Ivins describes the situation of an old racist East Texas circuit judge coming up and saying, "Well, how do you do, so-and-so? I said, good to see you there." And introduces himself to Molly Ivins. And then introduces himself to the black activist, and I'm probably getting part of this wrong.
No, you're right on so far.
And he says, and who are you? And he shakes his hand like he's shaking hands with a snake, and he says, you know, I'm Mr. Miles. And then sticks his hand out to Ann Richards and says, and who are you, little lady? And she goes, I'm Mrs. Miles.
Exactly.
God bless that woman.
Because he had done great disservice. When the black gentleman extended his hand, the judge simply used his pointing finger to touch the inside of his palm.
Right.
Charm.
Exactly.
And Molly said, I'm Mrs. Miles.
No, that was Ann Richards that said, I'm Mrs.
Yes,
Miles.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I read that. You know, if there really is a heaven with pearly gates and gold and such like as that, man, they flew open the minute that she breathed out and didn't breathe in again. And I mean the hinges didn't even squeak.
And when St. Peter sees those little pig eyes surrounded by those big ugly ears and centered by that pointy little, you know, devil fluke nose of his, he's going to look around and tell somebody, go get Molly. Somebody's here to see him.
See if Ms. Richards wants to let this in.
Yeah.
She probably has
a word or two for this.
Hey, David, thanks so much. And by the way, I checked. North Carolina State's in Raleigh.
Damn. Is it really? Well, I'm wrong. I've been wrong this weekend. I don't know what's going on. I do know that E. coli dies at 170 degrees, so you're safe.
Okay, 170?
165, 170.
Cook the damn spinach.
Exactly.
All right.
And don't use raw cow manure for fertilizer when you're trying to be organic, and life will be a lot better.
Yeah, bake it first. I understand.
Thanks for clearing that up on UNC on NC State.
I'm sorry, I don't win a lot of these, but I got to take my victories.
They're a wolf pack, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm feeling a little better.
Yeah, it's not all is not lost, David. All right.
Very good.
Have a great evening.
You too, Bob.
Later. Bye now. And let's see. Let's go to Rick calling from Texas. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, that was really something to hear this gentleman from Tennessee speaking like he did.
Well, he's half Texan.
Oh well, that does it then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Lone Star is a little dimmer, but I think it'll get brightening up again.
Well, because you see, Ann Richards put it in place for there to be Texan women to follow her and be like her and be strong and powerful like she was.
There is one thing about Texas women. They're all strong and powerful.
Yeah, some just...
Isn't any of them ever vote Republican.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Some of them have just gone over to the dark side, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, that scares the devil out of most Republicans, a strong woman like that. But we have an enormous amount of them. Maybe they'll quit being fooled, a few. Okay. I think, first of all, I kind of want to talk about waterboarding.
Okay.
My uncle was shot down over France. And he was brought in after hiding for 3 months into the Gestapo. And they waterboard him. It is a Gestapo technique. That's where they learned how to do it. What happened was they would tie him down by his wrist, one across his chest, and, you know, he's laying on his back on a board, and then into one of those old-fashioned bathtubs, they would dump him head first into it until the water entered his lungs, drowning. Then they would pull him up and let him cough it all out, not ask any questions, and then when he coughed it all out, they would do it again. He would hold his breath. He would do everything he could, but, you know, take it out waiting. And he'd take that breath, get it into his lungs, start coughing it out, pulling back in. 2 hours straight, and then they'd throw him back into his cell. He told me that he preferred the beating. As much as the beating hurt, he preferred. He would pray that when they come to get him in the morning, that he was going to be beat and not waterboarded. So don't let anybody ever tell you that it's not torture.
Yeah, I mean this, and see that's the thing, Rick. I don't know that much about your upbringing or what sort of social stuff you went through, but I remember being a freshman on the high school football team. Okay, And I remember something called a swirly.
I never got one of those, but I've heard of them.
And the reason I mention this is I think we have this mistaken impression. You know, you just gave a very graphic description of what waterboarding means. And, you know, the graphic descriptions of what are, you know, euphemistically termed stress positions. They're painful.
They're painful.
They are humiliating. They are terrifying. And they do not yield any information of any value. Okay, but we've got, but by virtue of the words of the right wing themselves, Rick, we have people who think that what goes on at Abu Ghraib and the secret torture prisons of George Bush, you know, the Bush gulag, okay, let's call it what it is, all right, that what goes, you know, it's just fraternity pranks, you know, they just stick your head under the water for a little bit and they flush the toilet and you come out and you've got bad hair and then you have to tell us where the terrorists are.
You don't see tears in the eyes of a Texan too often. But with me listening to my uncle, I saw the tears. And he didn't hesitate one moment. He said he prayed and begged for the beating,
yeah.
Not the waterboard. It's torture. It's torture. And it's against the Geneva Convention. And when these Republicans whitewash this for Bush, they're guilty as well. And I hope the second they travel out of the country, someone kidnaps them and takes them to The Hague. Bush and all the other Republicans who whitewashed it. Because this is torture. It's a war crime.
Why can they not, Rick? I mean, we've given away your secret identity in the past. You are a mental health professional. What is it in a personality that allows someone to just whitewash such a blot on the American character? I mean, this is not to say that we're lily white by any stretch of the imagination. We aren't. We've done evil things in the past. The trick is to stop doing evil. What is wrong with a person that allows them to sit there and say, "Well, it's just a prank"?
Well, you have people like Limbaugh, and you know, and I've never met any of these people. Hannity and Combs. This is how they make their money. If they started to tell the truth, if they quit telling these lies, if they quit supporting their money machine, it dries up. They get no more money. For most people who vote for them, it's, well, let's just pretend it's not happening. It's denial. It didn't happen. This isn't going on.
Are you telling me, Rick, and I want to, we're going to have to break for the news, but I want to continue this after the news, if you don't mind, if you've got a couple of more minutes.
Sure.
Are you telling me that the Republican Party cannot exist without torture?
They can exist without it. But once their leader, once their head decided that they're going to torture, they have to embrace it. You're not looking at free thinkers. You are not looking at people who can put a thought together coherently on their own. They have to be told how to think, and they're being told that this is really okay. The same as the Germans were told, it's really okay. I mean, they had some people of conscience, who was actually, you know, had to support the Gestapo. They had quit. Some worked all the way through, you know, with the beating, the torture, everything. But with this group, they have to be told that it's okay, and once they're told it's okay, that's all they're going to accept. Same thing with the Germans. Once they're told this was okay, it's acceptable, we have to do this to protect everybody in the world. We're not doing it for us. We don't want to torture. We want to protect Bob. We want to protect Agnes. You know, we know they don't like us, but we're going to protect them, and we're going to do everything we can.
Jesus.
Then the people believe it.
God. We've got a break, Rick, but we'll come back after the news, okay?
Sure.
Stand by, please.
Okay.
This is the Head On Radio Network. Fascinating conversation. This is our good friend Rick Goodner, a mental health professional. And I believe his insights are extremely valuable. We will go straight to the news. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. 877-443-2366 is the number.
Secretary General Kofi Annan called on Iraqi leaders to implement a plan to avert a civil war. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani and U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice both attended the meeting. In a speech ahead of the U.N. General Assembly meeting tomorrow, President Bush linked democratic reform with education, such as the literacy programs advocated by First Lady Laura Bush. Mr. Bush also said he believes that Pope Benedict is sincere in his apology over comments he made about Islam and violence. In Egypt, an al-Qaeda-linked extremist group warned that Pope Benedict and the West are doomed. Meanwhile, in Iraq, militants have vowed a war on Christians. Muslims across the world are protesting the Pope's comments, which he has apologized for. In Iraq today, scattered suicide bombings and gunfire killed dozens of people. The Iraqi government is planning new security measures in Baghdad as the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan approaches on Sunday. Violence traditionally increases during that time. In Somalia, the country's president narrowly escaped an assassination attempt near the parliament building. 11 people, including the president's brother, died in a suicide bombing and gun battle that followed. On Capitol Hill today, Congress is expected to receive a revised proposal from the White House for dealing with the interrogation of terror suspects. The party split over the issue last week. That's when a Republican-led committee approved a rival bill to President Bush's that calls for protecting detainees' rights. Earlier today, Senator John McCain said he believed a compromise can be reached on the issue. The Justice Department says violent crime is rising in the U.S. and could get worse. The FBI's final report on crime data indicates that there were nearly 1.4 million violent crimes reported last year for an overall increase of 2.3%. However, the number of reported rapes fell 1.2%. The FDA is trying to pinpoint the source of an E. coli outbreak that has been linked to two California companies, Natural Selection Foods in San Juan Bautista and River Ranch Fresh Foods in Salinas. In Southern California, firefighters are still working to contain a wildfire along the Los Angeles and Ventura County border. More than 90 square miles have burned over the last 2 weeks. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news is next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
researchers say they've discovered 52 new species in the waters off the coast of Indonesia, including a shark that walks on its fins and a praying mantis-like shrimp. Space station astronauts had to don protective suits this morning after getting a whiff of a foul odor. It turned out to be an oxygen tank leak, but everything is now back to order. The Space Shuttle Atlantis is nearing the completion of its 11-day mission and will return home on Wednesday. International Monetary Fund members have agreed to a change of status for China, South Korea, Mexico, and Turkey. From now on, those countries will contribute more money to the organization and in turn receive more voting shares. A Japanese business newspaper says Toyota plans to increase its overseas production by 40% in 2008. That amounts to 5 million more vehicles. An automotive trade journal is reporting executives from Ford and General Motors met in July to discuss a possible merger or alliance. Yahoo has announced a new multi-million dollar advertising campaign. Its goal is to spotlight its new services and renovation of its traditional programs. The average price of gasoline fell 12 cents last week, with motorists paying an average of $2.50 for a gallon of unleaded. Light sweet crude settled today at $63.80. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 6 points, NASDAQ flat, S&P 500 up 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Success and failure lies in...
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
5.5 minutes past the hour. Let's go right back to the phones. We had an ongoing discussion with our good friend Rick in Texas about the national character and the national willingness to torture. Are you still with us, Rick?
Oh, sure. I never leave y'all.
You're a busy man. I have to check sometimes.
That's okay.
Is the country in the midst of some sort of national psychosis? Is it national sociopathy? What is it?
Well, I do believe that with the news media, Fox and Limbaugh, Coulter, and the others, I do believe that there is a thing called shared delusion. Now, these people could be lying, or they could be delusional. In either case, the people who are listening to them, people who are believing this stuff, are taking on these delusional ideals, either lies or straight delusion. They're still delusional ideals. And they're believing it, which means a shared delusion. It is a mental disorder. It is shared psychotic disorder. It's for real.
So this is in other words, what you're telling me is that this is the kind of thing that almost requires reprogramming a la the Moonies and the Krishnas?
What it really, something like that, except it works a little easier. What happens is they have to have enough pain. And gas prices isn't high enough right now, unfortunately, believe it or not, it's not.
Well, no, gas prices are dropping now, and it's just a miracle. It's because Jesus loves us. It doesn't have anything to do with the coming election.
Just like in 02 and 04 drop, that they tend to forget that it's going to go immediately back up again.
Sure.
And not that many have lost their own kids in this war. None of them's really being taxed for it. They will later. They'll have to be. But at this point, they're not hurt. And so there's no reason to go out of the delusion. It's easier to believe something that you want to believe than have to face the facts if the facts are going to be more painful than what you're experiencing. Once a chair becomes uncomfortable, you will get up out of it. If it stays comfortable, you will stay in it. Now, Bush is easy. I've never met the man, but I've looked at him from a distance. And when he was governor, that's when I first realized what he was coming into. I do believe he's a criminal. I do believe that he's a sociopath, diagnostic sociopath. But one thing I saw early was he wanted to be an international star. So he went to meet with Arafat, went to his office, stood at the front door with hat in his hand, and Arafat refused to see him. After that, when he became president, no matter how many times Arafat begged to come see him and talk over the issues and stuff, Bush refused to see him.
he was paying him back. I understand that.
Well, that's how this family operates, isn't it, Rick?
It is.
I mean, they operate, and I'm talking about on little bitty minuscule stuff that you and I wouldn't pay attention to. Payback is the rule of the Bush family, whether it's softball, Parcheesi, or world domination.
And it works the same thing for their friends. As soon as things start to go bad, they are going to sacrifice their friends first. I used to have a joke, and I told my wife, I said, you know, if a monster ever gets after us, if you trip like they do in the movies, I'm keeping running. You know, if you go ahead and trip, I'm going to run.
Yeah, I don't have to run. I don't have to outrun that bear. All I got to do is outrun you.
Right. And what I've always, and it's like this with them, every time something goes wrong, they're going to sacrifice their friends, like Brownie. Or anybody else, they're going to sacrifice because what's important is that Bush stays on top. And his biggest competition in his life has been his father. His father was a pilot, supposedly a heroic war hero. I can't figure it out because his father got shot down. I thought the idea was to stay in your plane and keep it in the air and shoot down the other people.
But right.
He became a hero.
But they never let him go on any torpedo missions or anything. They sent him out to take pictures. But,
you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, so what did Junior do?
Junior had to be a pilot. Had to be a flyboy.
Absolutely.
Daddy was an oil man.
He had to do it too, although he failed in everything. They couldn't find oil in Texas.
Can't find oil in West Texas.
Oh my God.
That's like not being able to find a hooker in Las Vegas.
Wow. Hey.
That's just bad.
Probably make more money. No, anyway. Okay, Daddy was the president. One term. Bush had to do two, by hook or crook, it didn't matter. He had to do two.
Yeah. Well, he had to get the first one.
Right. Had to get the first one, then after that, he had to have the second one. He had to beat Daddy one more time. This war, Daddy couldn't win it. He had to. If you push everything else, you talk about the neocons, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
No. Sigmund Freud, white courtesy phone. Sigmund Freud, white courtesy phone.
It is that. And if his mom would have just hugged him a little harder than Daddy, I think everything would have been fine.
Well, you know, if Mom hadn't potty trained him at gunpoint, for God's sakes.
Well, you know, they have documented proof that Hitler was potty trained at the age of 3 months.
Jeez.
I don't know what we're going to find out about GW.
Well, I don't know. I read something out there that said he was a bedwetter till he was like 13 or so. Yeah.
Oh, and he tortured animals.
Yep, tortured animals. You know, all those Axis One things.
Have you heard anything about him starting fires?
Not off. Well, I mean, unless you count the business with branding pledges with white hot wires at the Beak House.
Do you know what those are? The three characteristics of a mass murderer. Every mass murderer, every serial killer has those three characteristics. Bad wedding, past a certain age, torturing animals, and starting fires.
Well, starting fires? Baghdad?
Baghdad. Baghdad did burn, didn't it?
Sure. Okay. I mean, what I'm trying to figure out, you know, well, you know, I don't know if you heard me talking about this Jesus Camp movie that's out there, Rick.
No, I haven't. I have patience.
Yeah, I understand. Well, go, you know, when you get a chance, go to YouTube.com. Everybody else in the chat room's already seen it by now. YouTube.com and just look up the words Jesus Camp. It's a new documentary. There's gonna be stuff there you'll get a new book out of the trailer alone, Rick. But the thing is, we are talking. No, we're shared delusional. Sure, this is where America is. Where's Nancy Reagan? You know, just say no to drugs. But the thing is, there's no way to get a handle that these right wingers are the drug that they're on, because the drug they're on is perfectly legal, and it's not booze and it's not tobacco. It's power.
Power.
And it's authoritarian fear.
Telling somebody else what to do. Oh, well, okay. Dr. Same now.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, brilliant psychologist. Done an enormous amount of books. One of them you may have even heard of, The Criminal Mind. Did this wonderful little bitty survey. And in it, in a prison, he asked a question, simple question. When you get out, if you could have any job in the world, what would you want to do? Number one choice, police officer. God and power and control. Second choice, creature, power and control.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Now, let me go into one more little thing, and I know you're busy, and I'll get off here real fast. Now, we're talking, Matt Lehr. You've seen the little talk that they had?
Yeah.
Okay, watch it. Watch his body language. When Lehr is asking some of those, he wasn't asking the lowball questions, which Bush is normally getting, and so he was getting kind of upset. Watch Bush's body language. He gets in a defensive stance and doubles up his fist, and at one point I thought he was going to hit him.
I thought, straight over the podium.
Thought he was physically going to attack this guy. And then at the news conference, when the MSNBC guy was asking him the question, how he got mad, he was yelling at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Gregory.
Bush is at the point that cognitive dissonance is setting in. I believe the world is this way, but people are showing me the world that way. But I'm going to go ahead and continue to believe the world is this way. And anybody else tells me anything different or asks me any question that may make me think about it differently, I'm going to.
Well, Rick, from a psychological standpoint, what in the hell does morally confused mean anyway?
There's no psychological.
I mean, morally confused is when you kill kitties and you think you're supposed to, right?
Well, probably morally confused would be that or raping your children and think it's your right.
Or drowning your kids and thinking Jesus told you to.
Right. That's the only thing I can think of.
So in other words, a crazy man just told 70% of America
that they're morally
confused. That they're crazy.
Right.
I'm not the crazy one. You're the crazy ones, you 70% of America. You're morally confused if you think that it's not okay for America to torture people.
Absolutely. And it's not unusual for a crazy person to do that.
You know, we've talked a lot on this program, Rick, about how we don't want to go around being scared of everything. That, you know, you could be hit by a car or felled by disease or, you know, a lot of things could happen to you before you are ever hit by a terrorist. But honest to God, Rick, I am getting scared of that little man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I think the power is Cheney, okay? But the face out front is George Bush, and George Bush apparently believes everything he's saying.
And he's losing it. He's losing it. And to be honest with you, I wish these news guys would think about it for a second. Go back to what I said. He's been in competition with Daddy from the beginning.
Yeah.
If Matt would have just said something, you know, when he doubled up his fist, he went back like, okay, I'm going to hit you, and got in that defensive stance and everything. If Matt would have said one simple thing, how's it going to feel to go down in history as a worse president than your father? He would have lost it at that point. Bush would have lost it and jumped on him and attacked him and started beating him on TV.
You ain't got to start talking about my daddy.
That is it. If you say you have failed and your daddy is better, you have to wait until he gets angry. You have to wait until he's losing control. You say that. Someone stands up with a sign when he's given one of these news conferences, and he sees that. Your daddy is better. He is going to lose it, and he is going to strike out, and people are going to see him.
That's true.
You may need one of these hills and hollers in West Virginia, too, Rick, because you may have to hide.
That there's no problem because I've just built an underground house and I got a brand new deer rifle that I haven't tried out yet.
Well, you know what? You remind me of so much. We do have to roll on because I got other people online.
Sorry.
But you reminded me of something else you reminded Agnes of something else because she just pantomimed it to me. And that is the night that it was when he was running for Congress. Deer Leader was running for Congress and it was when he got beat and he had given a less than stirring speech. And Laura Pickles looked at him and said, well, honey, that wasn't your best speech.
Mm-hmm.
That was the night that he drove the car through the plate glass picture window in the house.
Absolutely.
We're dealing with somebody
you're dealing with a criminal. You're dealing with a sociopath, the narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah, a Capone.
I've never met the man. But he's so easy to diagnose, it's not even funny.
We're talking about a John Gotti type, in other words.
Yes, there you go. That'd be the best analogy. John Gotti is the best analogy.
But some, well, you know, and some people like John Gotti. Rick, thank you so much for everything.
Anytime.
I love our conversations, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Okay. Have a good day, sir.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Sir? Sir? Where did I get... I work for a living. Isn't that what you're supposed to say when somebody calls you, sir? Let's see. Let's go. Peter is calling from Tallahassee, Florida, and has hung on forever and a day. Peter, thank you for waiting.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I have to admit, I'm a little tired this evening. I may not be as hateful as I normally am, but I'll damn sure try. Wow, the callers tonight. It's just amazing radio. Just amazing. You know, earlier Wayne mentioned the article that was in the New York Times. And if I'm not mistaken, Wayne was referring to an article I read today. I'm simply not able to locate it, regarding all of the staffing over there, the incompetent people who were put in charge of, like, restarting the stock market and the medical facilities, all the money's not being spent on the hospitals, so the hospitals still don't have a proper operating theater or a way to take blood pressure, all that sort of thing. But, you know, what they were doing, and this directly ties into the Jesus Camp stuff that we're talking about, these homeschooled, Christian Nazi-trained children, I guess that's okay if it's a standalone thing, but it's not a standalone thing. They publicly say that they're training these kids and raising them up this way to fill jobs in government, to make this a theocratic government. And what they did in Iraq was they took people who had walls of degrees in financial management and master's degrees and turned them down and hired people for positions like rebuilding the stock market, etc., simply because they were Christian homeschooled. That was their only qualification. This is a hand in glove tied together a conspiracy. It's part of the whole thing. You know, you got to give Hillary credit. She did say it was a vast right-wing conspiracy, and everybody laughed at her. But she's just about the first person that came out and said that.
Yeah, and there's truth in it.
And it's absolutely true. And the other thing that's got me really ticked off tonight, and this I just heard this over the break on the QNN News, they're saying it. All of the newsletters that I subscribe to are all saying it. Everybody's saying that Pope Benedict apologized. That is an absolute bold-faced lie. This is what he said. Quote,
okay.
I am deeply sorry for the reactions in some countries to a few passages of my address. End quote. Now, Bob...
Well, that's when somebody gets after you and you get bitchy with them in return. And say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Precisely. If I were to attack you personally or attack Agnes personally and just do my best to insult you, then turn around and say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Did I apologize?
No.
I don't think so. What are these people saying? What is the...
Well, but see, this is... this is
English?
Yeah, but... Well, maybe, maybe not. But this is where you turn it around and say, well, you know, those Muslims are just crazy. They're just crazy Muslims. They get mad at cartoons. Why? They're just nuts. But, you know, the last I checked, the fundies had an absolute fit over a crucifix submerged in a jar of what alleged to be urine. You remember that?
Yes, that was Mapplethorpe.
Yeah, and then there was the Madonna done in elephant dung that hung in Brooklyn, and they were ready to burn the museum down over that, Peter.
Yes, yes.
But only the Muslims get upset when their religion gets quiet. But, you know...
Oh, good point, Bob. You get them, boy. That's a great point. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, he didn't apologize. Old Nazi anti-aircraft gunners... Don't apologize, Peter.
Exactly. If Nazi youth, he demanded not apologize. And I'm sorry, but there is a higher standard for someone becoming the freaking Pope. There's a higher standard than just being a Catholic and going to Mass and confessing your sins. That's for anybody who says they believe. But to become the Pope, that's a higher standard. If you were a Nazi, you damn well don't qualify. I don't care what they say. It's just not compatible at all. Speaking of compatibility, on your program in the past, we have we have come out and criticized the Baptist Church for not kicking Phelps out for the outrageous spectacles that he performs at funerals of people. I want to fault the Methodist Church. How dare them not more publicly criticize George Bush and at least kick the... Well, pardon my English. At least kick him out. You know, they do these nicely worded... His behavior is not compatible with the Methodist Book of Doctrine statements that are all, kept under wraps and not public. You know, the Methodist Church is just as bad as the Baptist Church for not kicking out Phil. I really am ashamed.
Well, I mean, as I was raised Southern Baptist. You're a Methodist. As Protestants, do we have excommunication? Is that available to us?
Well, I don't know. The man did it. Tried to do it in that little town, and was it West Virginia? Or
no, that was North Carolina. That was East Waynesboro, North Carolina, yeah. Baptist Church, and the Reverend Chan Chandler.
Yeah. He was, that's the guy. I honestly, I'll have to look that up to report back to you what the excommunication procedure is for the Methodist Church. I'm sure I can find it.
Because you need to whomp one up, and maybe, I don't know, maybe, just maybe, an exorcism, too. Call Pope Benny. Apparently, from what we read last week, the exorcists have a union.
Interesting.
Get hold of, maybe all George needs is a good demon cleansing.
Well, he's
but then again, he'd probably be like a deflated balloon if you got all the demons out of him, Peter.
And I have one last comment about the lowered gas price. Do you realize that all this is an illegal campaign contribution from the oil industry?
You're dead. Well, that, I haven't heard it put that right. Yeah, spot on.
I just wanted to point that out. That's all the hell it is.
And when we get to the quarterlies and we subtract this past quarter's profits from the current quarter's profits, we will be able to determine exactly how much the campaign contribution was.
Exactly.
Simple math.
It can be absolutely added up. And also to the man who talked about it, was it his uncle who was waterboarded? That was a deeply disturbing story. That was. I had not heard it described in such detail. It was.
Yeah, they don't just dunk your head until you can't breathe and bring you up blue.
Yeah.
They let you actually get the water into your lungs, and we've probably, if we could learn the truth, Peter, we would probably find out we've lost a few people that way.
Yeah.
Because half drowning someone is an imprecise science, to say the least.
Well, to say the least, and any other number of medical issues, a heart condition, for instance, and. No, he died of a heart attack. Not that we half drowned him.
Yeah, pneumonia. Fluid in the lungs. Pneumonia.
Yes. That's another good point.
And see, it becomes more disturbing when you realize that the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association have come out saying that it is improper and illegal and contrary to ethical standards for doctors to participate in these processes, which sort of presupposes the fact that they are.
Absolutely, and the whole thing about trying to change the law retroactively, and Bush is feigning that he's trying to protect the employees and the CIA and the jailers and the Army personnel from getting sued. That man is just—he's absolutely admitting that he's breaking the law. To even bring it up is for him to admit.
Well, he has time and again. He has stood in front of microphones and said, "I'm going to do it, and you can't stop me."
Yeah, he is a disturbed little man. And the last caller, very, very eloquent presenting that.
Well, Rick is a real live, honest-to-goodness mental health professional.
Well.
And he sees folks on a daily basis. He has patients. He's got a wealth of experience over a lengthy career. And I trust his judgment when he looks up and says it's this way.
Well, Bob, for God's sake, negotiate a bulk contract with him for us. I'm begging you, dude.
Yeah, chat room psychology with Dr. Rick.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, that's all I got, man. I enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, Peter, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for bringing that along. We got to, at some point, I don't know how I'm going to find it, but I want to see this whole Jesus camp thing.
Oh, me too. And I've already gone to Netflix. It's available to add to the queue, but they don't have the DVD. In other words, it's in your queue, but they're not going to ship it until they get the DVD. Now, whether it's just Netflix that doesn't have the DVD or if, in fact, the DVD isn't released.
I don't think it's been released yet because it's making the rounds of the film festival because it received whatever award that whatever body part that you, that you get up at the Tribeca Film Festival.
But it's
making the rounds of the festival, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's not out on DVD yet.
Yeah.
Although we could probably find that out for sure also at imdb.com,
yeah,
one of my favorite websites.
Yeah, gotta see that. Must see that.
Because I mean that's the future. And you know, they sit there and they praise suicide bomber parents for encouraging their children to kill in the name of religion.
Yeah.
And they seem to think that they're behind the curve because they haven't succeeded in doing it themselves yet.
Yeah, no doubt they're the ones behind the marketing of the Armor of Christ pajama series.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, please, can I have some for Christmas?
If you go and you look at the website, it says adult sizes coming soon.
No. Oh, no, I'll never sleep tonight.
I think it does. Yeah, the little Klansman uniform with the, yeah, oh, yeah.
That's pretty disturbing.
But the thing is, Agnes is not happy with the veil. She wants the helmet.
I'm not really a Christian, but I play one in my pajamas.
Well, there's one for the highlight reel.
Oh, God, I hate that. I love you guys.
We love you too, Peter. Take care. Bye now. I'm not a real Christian, but I play one in my pajamas. Let's keep it rolling. Bob has been waiting. Hey, Bob, welcome aboard.
Hello.
How you doing?
Call me by my given name.
Robert?
No. The one...
Gunny?
The government gave me. Gunny.
Okay.
That's the one they gave me. Gunny Bob. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, just like the old Sarge and to my good friend, Wayne. He's been in trenches, too. Different trenches, right?
Yeah.
And this is all I have to say this evening. If you want to know where you're going, please ask someone that's been there before you. Okay?
Yeah.
And we're going in a bad place. I've been there. I was there. Robin, my good friend, I have been in a bad place, and I had good men die under my command. Good men, and they are on a black, ugly scar in the middle of the mall that you were just at.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know that, because most people just think about those things that I've listened to the program. Good God, son, I listen to your show religiously. I have to hear every word. If I don't catch it this evening, I'll download it in the morning from our good friend Ben Burt, who is so kin to Bruce Burt, who I listen to every day.
Right.
When I turn head on when it gets on the air in the morning, and I listen to Mark, and then
Guy and
no, Doctor.
Oh, Doctor Bill.
Yeah. So I think of him as a very good scholar. He is he's no sawbones, you know.
No, he's
he's an intelligent man with a lot of intelligent things to say. People should listen every day to get, you know, just to understand where he comes from. And I do. I understand you, son. I do. You are a good man, and you want the truth. And you know what I want? And this this is all I want to say to my good friend, Sarge. The Sarge. Yeah. The old Sarge. I want to say something to him. And I want to say something to my dear friend, Wayne. I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, period. That's all I want.
The straight stuff and no chaser.
Yeah, no chaser. Just give it to me. I want the truth. And you know what I hear from you? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Just like I get from our dear Agnes. She gives it to me every day. You know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Whatever I call her. She don't lie to me. She just says, you know, hello, and, you know, and then we talk, and you don't hear what we say, because, hey, I'm always talking behind your back. Yeah? And I'm telling you that I am who I say I am. And, hey, Sarge, to you, I salute you. I salute you for your faith, for your love, for what you do for this network and what you do for the people down there. I salute you. And for Wayne, hey, keep it up, brother. I'm digging the same hole you're digging. You know, Wayne's a good man. I love him. I do. I
am surrounded, Bob. I am absolutely surrounded by brilliant, dedicated, extremely good, decent human beings, and yourself included. And it is what makes doing this worth doing this, because what we have done is we have empowered a whole bunch of really honest to God, decent people who can go out and change things.
See something, Bob? I want you to hear something. We talked about this a long time ago. We are building a community of human beings that think beyond themselves. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring this nation back to what it belongs to be.
It's back from the brink of destruction, Bob.
Well, the destruction thing, hey, that's where they're trying to take it. We just want to say to our brother, to my friend Wayne, and to the old Sarge down there who thinks he's an old Sarge. He ain't as old as me, and he ain't as Sarge as me, right? To him and to you and to your lovely lady, I'm saying this. We have a nation. We have people in this neck of the woods, okay, if you want to put it that way, in this country, right here in United States of America, that used to be the United States, not the divided state that George Bush has tried to take us to. We have a nation. Now, let's make this nation a community, something that Bruce Birch and I talked about, and you and I talked about, and I talked till I'm blue in the face, but let's bring it back to a community of people that care about their neighbors. I mean, I don't like my neighbor because he's a right-wing Nazi, right? Or mm-hmm. a fascist Republican. I don't care. But let's bring it back to where, okay, let's talk to him and say, there is something beyond you. You're not bigger than me. I'm your neighbor. I mean, I can look you in the eye.
Well, Bob, let me ask you a question that is within the realm of your expertise, okay?
Okay.
And I talked a little bit about it with Dr. Rick earlier.
Yeah.
You have been in a situation where you have known people who, by virtue of serving under the colors, under arms for the United States of America, have been tortured. Okay?
No, Bob.
No? You've never known anyone who was tortured?
No, I have tortured people.
Okay.
I have.
Well, okay, you're taking me a place I wasn't necessarily going to try to take you.
No, I'm going to take you to Vietnam back in 1968.
What the hell? I mean, is it, okay, let me ask you the question, though. Is it because Cheney had his five deferments and he never saw the jungles? Is it because Bush was too scared to go there and instead chose to protect Houston from the Viet Cong in an aircraft that wasn't even in use in Vietnam anymore?
No.
Is it because all of these people evaded service, that they don't understand what they're doing to American servicemen and women and the risk that they are putting them in by sanctioning torture against our supposed enemies? Is that it?
No. You know what it is? You're a scared young man, and you're put under orders, and they tell you to do something, and you think that if you don't do it, you will be considered less than an American, less than a patriot. They teach you that. They train you that. They pound it into your head that if you don't follow this order, you will be court-martialed, and you will be excised. You will just be less than a human being, and then you will follow your orders, just like you were talking about this Hitler Youth and the new order,
Jesus Camp.
Yeah, Jesus Camp.
You know, that goes down in your neck of the woods. That's in North Dakota.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same dang thing. It's the same thing, Bob. They're trying to indoctrinate. They did it with us in 66. They told us that it was Ho Chi Minh. He was the evil demon, okay, in 1966. So I went to war, and I murdered people, Bob. I did, and I swear to God, I am heartily sorry. And before the Pope, if it was a decent Pope, I would bow down and I would beg for forgiveness from Jesus if that would give me forgiveness. But I cannot stand before the people that I murdered and ask them to give me forgiveness.
I think you might have a better shot if you took a little trip south to Pine Ridge and found a holy man down there. But that's just me.
No, hey, Bob. I'm not looking for a holy man. I look to myself, and I find in myself forgiveness.
Well, you know, I understand that, and you bring a lot to this discussion, Bob. I was reading a comment by Paul Rykoff, who is one of the founders of Iraq and Afghanistan Vets.
I know Paul.
He said that his point, and this is why I asked you the question I did, his point was that had George Bush or Dick Cheney or Rumsfeld or, well, Wolfowitz or any Alberto Gonzalez, all of these authors of hell and torture, had any of them actually ever meaningfully served in a combat situation, that they would understand, Bob, they would understand what profound risk they are putting our men and women in by advocating the position that they do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when
I'll call me by my given name.
Okay.
The government. Gaming.
Okay. Well, listen, I got to roll on because I got more callers coming, and I got to take a break too. Bob, thank you. Gunny.
Good name.
Gunny Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob Kincaid.
You have yourself
a good evening,
night.
And hey, to all the listeners out there, this man speaks for me. Bob Kincaid speaks for me, and I am who I say I am. I'm not a piker or a complainer or a pretender. I am who and what I say I am. And Bob Kincaid speaks for me. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Gunny Bob. You take care, and our best to your family, please.
And my love to yours.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 18 minutes before the hour, let's go quickly to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Welcome back. Hey.
I just wanted to add one thing.
Sure.
Know? I mean, what we have to remember is George Bush and Dick Cheney and the Wolfowitz and all those people of the world are not following the orders. They are giving the orders.
Yeah, they're making them up as they go along.
Yes, but they claim to have the authority and they have a lot of support and a lot of people have to listen to what they say. They're giving the orders, and that has to stop. That has to stop.
Congress can stop them.
Yeah, they can. But that all leads up to 206, buddy, you know, and what we've been talking about for a long time. We have to elect the Democrats. We have to win because then we have a group of people that we can, you know, whether you like them or don't like them or what, and they are by no means perfect. But if we give them control, we can hold them 100% responsible. Then we have a starting point. Then we know what to do in 208. And if they don't follow, you know, if they don't move towards what the people and what the majority of people want in this country, then we remove their ass in 208. It's just that simple.
And maybe between 2006 and 2008, if we can get a couple of miracles here and there, Wayne, we can have a little bit of legitimate campaign finance reform. We can have a little bit of cleaning up of the political process. We can take some of the K Street money out of this and make it easier for us to hold people's feet to the fire and thereby remove them if they need removing.
There you go. That's exactly right. You know, and that all comes from the people.
And, you know, there's a lot of confused people, Bob, and that's what I was talking about tonight. And that's why we can no longer just empathize or sympathize with the confused people, even if they're our relatives or friends or whatever. We have to explain that they're wrong. Look at what you're following here. It's wrong.
Yeah, it's time for a straighten up.
Right. I mean, this is totally unbelievable to me. The President of the United States is advocating that we legalize torture.
And see, he's proud of himself, Wayne, because he's come up with this new stance. If you notice the thing Friday, he's come up with this new stance of you will do it. You know, it's literally my way or the highway, because if you don't let me torture people, I will not let anybody interrogate anybody. We'll just turn them loose. I mean, did you see that or hear that? That's what he says. You know, I'm just going to cancel the program if you don't do it my way.
The secret here is we're going to cancel you, pal. That's what we're going to do. We're going to cancel you. The guy's an idiot. The people running this country, they're not idiots. I shouldn't say that. Although I think the president, you know, I told you sometimes I almost feel sorry for him.
But then you realize what he's done.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, even a pawn has to have a conscience at some point. This guy apparently hasn't reached his, but you know, I don't know. He'll die going mad, you know.
Of natural causes.
Yes, I mean, you know, he'll just. But anyway, that my point was, these guys are giving the orders. And they're putting our servicemen and veterans and people, well, they're putting them in a terrible position. And we have to stop that. We have to stop that.
Yeah, because, see, we won't put out a movie, Wayne, showing what we've done torturing people. They'll give us a movie of what they do to ours. They'll let us watch.
Well.
And that will be a black day. And the thing is, all the right-wingers will holler, see what barbarians they are. But the fact of the matter is, when that day comes, and that day will come, it'll be done in North Korea, or it'll be done in Iran, or it'll be done in Afghanistan or Iraq. And when that day comes, that will be solely the result of the policies of this White House. Not some liberal, not some anti-war activist. It will solely be the work of Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Alberto Gonzalez, and George Bush and the rest of that heinous crowd.
Well, that's why the people have to realize what we're dealing with.
That will be a dark, dark day.
Yes.
Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, brother.
Later.
All right, man. Bye.
See, the thing you have to grab hold of somewhere along here is that this is not an academic exercise. This is not, as they say, a drill. From the Associated Press yesterday, in the few short years since the first shackled Afghan shuffled off to Guantanamo, the U.S. military has created a global network of overseas prisons, its islands of high security keeping, and you've probably already seen this number, but it still sort of shocks the conscience and makes a little droppy feeling in your gut, keeping 14,000 detainees beyond the reach of established law. 13,000 of those people are in Iraq. 1,000 of them have been scattered over the planet in secret torture prisons. Do you remember when Alberto Gonzalez was called to testify before the Congress and it was suggested that he be sworn in and sworn to tell the truth? And the Republicans said, my stars, we can't do that. That's unbecoming. That's unbecoming such an important personage. We can't have him tell the truth. You remember the questions they asked Alberto Gonzalez? Things like, do you have any secret torture prisons? Are you torturing anybody? Shucks, no. Heck no. We wouldn't do that. My goodness gracious. Butter wouldn't melt in our mouth. We wouldn't say crap if we had a mouthful. Goodness gracious, no. We're not torturing anybody. Why was he able to do that? Because a compliant Congress, a servile Congress, a Congress that doesn't even want to be Congress, said, "Why, goodness me, we can't make this man swear to tell the truth." Thanks to my very good friend Mark Levine earlier today for noting that. I had forgotten about Gonzalez not having to be sworn. I'd forgotten about the lies that Alberto Gonzalez sat there and just lied straight up to the Congress. And did it with a smile on his face. That's the mark of a sociopath. 14,000 people have been disappeared into George Bush's gulag. 13,000 of them are in Iraq. How does that compare with Saddam Hussein's numbers? Because captured on battlefields, pulled from beds at midnight, grabbed off streets as suspected insurgents, tens of thousands now have passed through U.S. detention, the vast majority in Iraq. Many say they were caught up in U.S. military sweeps, often interrogated around the clock and then released months or years later without apology, compensation, or any word on why they were taken. 70 to 90% of the Iraq detentions in 2003 were mistakes. Mistakes. And that's not somebody else's opinion. That is the U.S. military saying that to the International Red Cross. Well, one of those mistakes is going down right now because even as we speak, the U.S. military has an Associated Press photographer in prison without charges, without access to family, without access to anything. A man named Bilal Hussein, Iraqi citizen, Associated Press photographer, rotting in a jail somewhere in Iraq. This is not an exercise. This is not a drill. This is the real dragging. This is the real dragging of the American flag through filth unimaginable to those who have previously fought and struggled and died to preserve this union. Let's talk to our good friend Roy from Texas. Roy, welcome aboard. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem. I enjoyed listening to you. But, you know, just what you and the fellow now was talking about, this is the same system back in the old man Reagan day. Yeah. The Republicans, they went and hired him an actor, somebody that could get up and give a speech. They told him what to say, and he done it. Now, we've got this Mickey Mouse toy that was a cheerleader at Yale. They wind him up, tell him what to go say, and tell him, when you get through, you get your photo op.
Make sure you say God bless America now, George.
Yeah, and wave at everybody. And, but over the weekend, I think I heard what was just exactly what he's trying to cover up. I heard a man, I didn't get his first name, but his last name was Turley.
Jonathan Turley.
Yeah. A law, professor at some prestigious school, and I can't tell you where.
Georgetown or George Washington One.
Okay. Anyhow, he said that right now Bush has 30 felonies against him under the the wiretapping deal.
Yeah.
He don't want this to come out about the torture because then he would be liable for law.
Well, see, that's one of the reasons they want to change the law, Roy. There's a 1996 Federal War Crimes Act. Never mind the Hague. Never mind the international community. Never mind the United Nations. We have a law on the books passed by a Republican Congress in 1996 that was out to get Bill Clinton with it that is far more applicable to George Bush than anything Bill Clinton ever did.
But if this Turley said that if he could get this changed on the Geneva Convention, that would let him off of the hook for war crimes.
Scary, isn't it?
Pretty damn scary.
All the more reason to absolutely bust our humps to make it happen in November 2006.
It's just got to.
I mean, if it doesn't,
I don't know.
Never mind flying the American flag upside down anymore. Just take the flag down.
Yeah. But.
And I don't say that lightly, Roy.
No, I don't either. I know you don't, and I don't. But you know, people can fly all the flags they want. They can have all the ribbons on their cars that they want. All of that kind of stuff. But patriotism is what's in your heart. You live it, and it's there. You don't have to have a flag out there or be wearing a VFW cap and salute somebody or something like that. Be a patriot. It's what's in your heart and the way you live it.
Well, I think you're right. The scary part is I wonder about what's in the heart of the people who followed George Bush. Roy, we've got to roll on. We're at the end of the night. Thank you so much for waiting. I always enjoy our chats.
And I appreciated what you said earlier about Ann Richards. She was a gem.
Well, she's one of those people you're kind of proud to be an American with, you know?
I was proud to work on her campaign when she was elected governor of Texas.
I can imagine you were. You take care now. Have a good night. That's it, everybody. Thanks for making this Monday night a wonderful, wonderful experience. I invite you, a little reminder, Wednesday night we're going to be joined, given the conversation's turns this evening, we're going to be joined by the Reverend Jennifer S. Butler, recent author of a book called Born Again, The Christian Right Globalized. This is, and the point that she makes, I've only gotten to start through the book a part of the way, but part of the point that she makes is this is not just a localized American phenomenon. These people are going after global domination, and they have no intention of stopping. So the Reverend Jennifer Butler will join us Wednesday evening for prayer meeting. I hope you'll be here as well. Be here tomorrow night, too, because I'm sure we're going to find something to get into. We always do. Thanks, everybody, for your time, your participation, your emails, your phone calls. Goodness me, you make this the best job on planet Earth. I kid you not. The program tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia, the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Several programs on the Head On Radio Network are also simulcast through the auspices of our good friend Shelby Lepre and RadioPower.org. We are glad to be involved in that relationship. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives of all the Head On Radio Network programs. Ben is, in fact, the hardest working man in liberal talk, and has been for some several years. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Gene in Oregon is our news editor at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com news blog and does a whale of an effort in the process. All programs on the Horn happen because there are several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and they go out and they build the American dream. And in supporting the Horn, they're trying to do what they can to save the American dream. And, of course, everything on the Horn, America's liberal voice. Well, always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. And the phone number here, as always, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. You can email during the program. I'll try to answer it, but you know how it goes sometimes. MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. Well, are you ready for a parade? The Bush crime family is trying to decide whether or not to declare victory in Iraq and have Too Stupid to Be President to address a joint session of Congress like his daddy did. And then a New York City victory parade. Huh? That's under consideration. Don't you think that would smack a little bit too much of, what do they call it, triumphalism? In the first place, the war in Iraq is not over. The war in Afghanistan is not over. No. Military engagement that the Bush crime family has gotten us involved in is over. It will never be over. Didn't Bush say it's an endless war? We have terrorists in 60 countries that we have to track down and annihilate. If it means annihilating the countries as well, well, okay. But already they're considering, I guess this has to do with Bush's thing that he has with his father.